and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Yes, indeedy, deedy, deed. 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Teresa Strasser.
Adam Carolla.
Good morning, my dear.
Good morning.
Is the Dooch Man on?
Where the hell do you think I'd be?
Well, you know, it's weird because sometimes when people are on, they're up on the on my screen, and other times they're just in my head. I think this is the latter. So, Danny, you're out in Chicago?
I am indeed. And I, by the way, remember yesterday we were talking about animals, and I kept having information and couldn't remember where I got it?
Mm-hmm.
And it turned out I had done that Animal Planet show?
Mm-hmm.
1 degree Celsius is 34 degrees.
Right.
That's from yesterday's show.
Yes. Zero is freezing in the Celsius department.
Right. The reason I know, because it's a friggin' degree here.
Yeah.
Wow.
I walk outside.
Yeah, I said it yesterday.
First thing I see is a sign, though. But when you say it out loud and it's really happening to you, mm-hmm. it's a different thing. When you look at the sign and it says, hey, it's a degree. It just seems really cold.
I must say this. I was attempting to take one of my colossal famous naps yesterday about 2:30 in the afternoon, and I looked at the thermostat inside my bedroom, and it said 79 degrees. And as I've said on the show before, I sort of unplugged my air conditioning about a month and a half ago. And I was passing, you know, the centerpiece with the Thanksgiving candles in it on my way up to my sweat box to go up and attempt to take a nap. And I started to get angry. I just got like agitated. I know you're cold over there. I'm hot over here. I feel like if we could stop somewhere in between Chicago and L.A., we might have a happy medium because it was, I got in my car at 5:20 yesterday, was 70 degrees is what the temperature read on the outside. It's just, you know what? It's weird. I feel like my body has some sort of cyclical design where during the summer I can handle the heat, but when it starts getting darker early and the leaves start turning and I'm passing pumpkin patches and places that sell Christmas trees, and it's 96 degrees,
right.
my mind starts getting mussed with.
I know you hate the heat because it reminds you of growing up in the valley with no air.
Yes. You know what? I'll tell you what it just reminds me of.
That's why I hate belts.
It reminds me of being
so damn hot.
It reminds me of being poor.
Choice. Yeah.
No air in any of the houses we ever lived
or
in.
Cars, I bet.
No way were there ever air. I didn't know if my family knew that was possible. They
how
thought,
did I know?
They'd say, how did you run the ducting out to the car? I used to sleep over at my buddy Chris's house, and he had air conditioning. He had central air in his house. It was a little crappy house, but they had central air. And I'd get up in the middle of the night, turn the air on, and go lay down by the register and think, cold air is coming out of the wall. I don't know how this magic works, this sorcery works, but count me in. I'll go lie down by it because I couldn't imagine that I was in a room where cold air was being pumped into it. So, yes, it reminds me of being poor, and it also reminds me of hard work because that's what I used to do in the valley. But it's cool over there in Chicago.
Well, it's cool to people in Chicago. It's bum killing cold if you happen to be from Los Angeles.
And especially if you dress like the Dooch Man.
Right.
Right.
Because he's just going out. He's got a banana hammock with suspenders.
You're so funny.
And Amy's, a foxtail hanging
Amy's
from
here
it.
And does not have headphones and can't hear what you're saying. And she just yelled at me for that this morning. Just please wear some real clothes. It's freezing out. He's making fun of me. And described my outfit almost to a T.
It's difficult to bedazzle your fisherman sweater.
It's not. It's really quite easy. It's just hard to explain why you're freezing to death in Chicago, why this is more important to you than warmth.
And Danny, you're there to do some comedy at Zany's.
Okay. I'm really, honestly, I'm here to kill myself. And I'll tell you why.
Mm.
I'm playing against Screech from Saved by the Bell.
By the way, I just want to say quickly, everyone knows what Danny looks like, but if you haven't seen him, he dresses, think Judd Hirsch in the Taxi years. That's I think that would best describe Danny T. Am I being unfair?
That is a perfect description of his wardrobe.
Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Danny. Judd Hirsch, 77, 78. Those later 70s.
It said on the itinerary that I'll be doing this and taking this flight and doing that. And then it says, share limousine with Screech. Mm. Which, A, is how condescending is that? They don't even use the cat's real name. But, B, what if we crashed? After all I've been through to be found dead with
comedy
Screech,
I
would kill myself if I weren't already dead.
You know, it would be funny, though, if you were sitting in the back of the limo because you were like, I am going to be as far away as I can possibly be from you, Dustin Diamond. You sat in the back of the limo, and he was in the front of the limo with his back against the driver all the way on the end. And you guys were pulling up to the club, and he thought, I better tuck my shirt in. So he undid his pants and started to tuck his shirt in. And the limo crashed headfirst into something. And you went sailing. And as you were going in slow motion, you were yelling, no!
No!
But your face landed right on his groin. And that's where they found both of you. Pictures, it'd be the last TMZ appearance he ever made.
Well, I could live with that.
Partridge dies performing oral on Screech.
He used to have a golden throat. Now he has a diamond throat.
Now, Danny, I know you dislike Screech.
Why do you dislike Screech?
Because he's a punk-ass bitch.
What did he do? What's in
the history? Actually, you know what? We had a reasonable time with him last night. And it's hard to hate him now. Because he hates his fans. That's what bothers me.
What fans?
He hates his fans?
If somebody calls him Screech, he yells at them for like 20 minutes, which tells me, A, you're lucky that one guy recognized you because obviously you have 20 minutes to kill with nothing else to do.
Right.
You know, he just, I don't think he likes his fans. I think he hates that he was Screech. I can't imagine what his act is like. The news I did this morning, I did a news show to promote the comedy, and they said, Screech is coming up next. And I said, keep calling him that because he loves that.
Do you think, Danny, that he's one of these guys that thinks that Saved by the Bell ruined his career?
Yes, absolutely, Adam. I think when we were talking about this the other day, he's one of those guys that feels that not only did Saved by the Bell ruin his career, but ruined his life.
Right.
Because he is a very serious man. I'll give him this. Apparently, he is a world-class chess player.
Hmm.
Now, usually that will translate into some other kind of talent. I have yet to see evidence of it.
Yeah.
But, he's a world-class chess player. And I even asked him last night, because he's got a full beard. I mean, a huge full beard. Now, imagine a 40-year-old Screech with a very thick beard. He looks like a moyle. Okay?
You're making me high.
He looks like a Hasidic rabbi.
Right.
So I said, if you're out here doing the comedy tour, if you don't mind my asking, because I know you don't like being called Screech, but why the beard? Why aren't you trying to look as much like Screech as possible? That's where your money is. And he said, because that would set me back years. I spent 10 years trying to get rid of that Screech character. And I went, well, you're missing the other half. Once you would kill the Screech character, you then have to replace it with something.
I think, and he was like, why is Judd Hirsch riding me so hard? let me say this. I hope all my, I'm not even going to qualify this, but here's what I'm going to say. In a way, being a guy, a former child star, in a way, it's almost like being a minority in the sense that if something doesn't go right, if someone's an a-hole to you, you get to chalk it up to that. Now, I mean no disrespect to my brothers of many colors, but I'm saying this, and I've said it many times. I've had dealings with many people where if I were black or if I was Asian or Hispanic, I would assume they were just racist. Every house I've lived in, I've had an a-hole neighbor come over and make very unreasonable requests and call the cops and essentially ride me.
Right.
Now, I knew there were a-holes because I'm white. If I was any other color than white, I would say this person hates, and then I would say my nationality, fill in the blank. When you're an ex-childhood star, you get to say, oh, the reason I didn't get the movie role, the reason I didn't get the TV series, the reason I'm not doing what I want to do now is because I'm constantly looked at as Gilligan or the professor or Screech or whoever it is. You fill that one in. The reality is they probably would have never gotten a paycheck in the business.
Right. We've discussed that.
That's the way I feel about it. And
especially Dustin Diamond, for God's sakes.
I completely concur. And then people go, why? Why not? Maybe this and maybe that. He's a talented guy or he has some talent. Right. So does every waiter who's at the IHOP across the street. Of course, he has some talent. So do millions of people who come to the city every year to set their goals on being a celebrity, to get in a sitcom, whatever. I know plenty of people with plenty of talent who've never made any money in this business.
You know, there's a lot of people that goes both ways. You don't even have to be an ex-child star or washed up or anything. James Caan, who I know you like, said it best. He said, I knew I had arrived when if I was walking down the street and someone yelled my name and I failed to turn around, they knew it's because I didn't hear them. Mm-hmm. Now if I walk down the street and someone yells my name and I don't turn around, it's because I'm an a-hole movie star.
Yeah.
Nothing about me and my hearing has changed. It's their perception of why I don't turn around and wave. One, I don't hear them. One, I'm an a-hole.
Well, I just think, A, these guys were lucky to have the paychecks they had for as long as they had. And a guy like that is, I mean, look, I don't know, from age 11 to age 17 or 19, that guy made $2 million, whereas the Ace Man made $1.89.
Right.
And he was also lucky to do it in sort of the modern age where childhood actors or child actors were compensated
right
for what they did. And thirdly, to work in this business for 9 years or 6 years or 8 years or whatever it was, even if it was from the age 11 to 18, is still way more than your average life expectancy in this business. And thirdly, fourthly, and fifthly, if you're good, you can overcome. If you're good, you can transcend this. I always, you know, I feel, and I don't know why, it's all I can ever think of. But first off, when you see these guys, you know, George Clooney was doing crappy TV shows for the love of Christ.
Do not insult the facts of life.
I love that show.
Leonardo DiCaprio.
These guys were all doing. I mean, guys like Johnny Depp were on 21 Jump Street. Yeah. They were considered sort of mindless pretty boys. They were just, you know, they were on crappy networks, on crappy shows, and looked at as just sort of Tiger Beat fluff. And he said, no, I want to be taken seriously as an actor. And so he took roles like Edward Scissorhands, where he took his looks off the table. He didn't trade on his looks. He scarred himself up. He put weird makeup on. He did a lot of weird, interesting roles, and he immediately got away from the pretty boy thing, and now he's considered one of our best actors.
That's what held me back for so long, is that everybody pigeonholed me as that mindless pretty boy for so long. I couldn't get away from it.
I saw that Chips episode. All right, we need to take ourselves a break. Speaking of mindless pretty boys, Frank Caliendo. Dear friend Frank Caliendo is going to be back on the show. He's got his new show coming up. He does a George Bush that could probably fool Laura Bush if he called her from another part of the house and told her to come down here.
Strategery.
And perform oral.
I was wondering if you could get him to do that. That'd be cool.
We'll take a quick break. Frank Caliendo next. Danny in Chi-Town. And we'll be back after this.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. With a sneak peek at this morning's show, here's the guy who signs our checks, Program Director Jack Silver.
Today, the Ace Man goes off during This Week in Rage. We'll do a new round of nerd walking from the picket lines at the writer's strike. The host of Frank TV, Frank Caliendo. From He's the Soup, Joel McHale. Comedian Dom Herrera. And the creator of The Family Guy, Seth MacFarlane. Whoa, Caliendo, McHale, Herrera, MacFarlane. Somebody fire up the barbecue peeps, because we got a sausage fest in here.
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. This is the Adam Carolla Show.
Frank Caliendo is Holden. We'll talk to him in just 2 minutes. Let me say this quickly. I've complained a lot about cell phones, especially cell phones here in Southern California. The one place you spend more time in your car than you do in your house, and the cell phones don't work in this city. They drop out almost everywhere you go. I was screaming the other day, I'm tired of calling people and having the cell phone work good enough to have good enough to get through to them, but then not good enough to work after that. Or having my cell phone ring. You know that thing where your cell phone rings and you're like, hello, but you can't communicate with the person on the other line? Now, there's a strong enough signal to make the effing thing ring, but not strong enough so that you can actually have the conversation once you pick it up. And there's nothing worse than when that happens multiple times. So you're having a conversation, maybe you're doing some business, and your cell phone starts blowing up, and you do that, hold on, excuse me 1 second, then hello, 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 okay, didn't work. Shut it, put it back in your pocket, and it starts ringing again. Well, yesterday, a new high and annoying happened to me regarding cell phones, and this has never happened to me before. I was having a semi-important conversation on my home phone when the beep started coming through. You know, someone's on the other line. And calling. I thought, yeah, I'm going to ignore that call waiting. I'm going to ignore it because this is sort of important. And then it kept going and they kept calling back. So I said, well, maybe this is important. Hold on a second. And it was somebody on a cell phone that didn't have good reception. It was good enough to do the call waiting and to interrupt my effing phone call, but not good enough for me to have a conversation with the person. And because I picked up and it hung up, they had to keep coming back. And I didn't know if it was important or not. I'm just saying, I know this is a scam. I know it's a racket. I just know it is. I know they make more money off the minutes because when it's picked up, it rolls over to a minute or it counts as something as more than the non-conversation you had. To whoever's listening to me who designs cell phones, here's the deal. If I can't have a conversation with the person that's calling, I don't need the phone ringing. I don't need to know spiritually. I don't need to know on some level that somebody wants to talk to me, even if I can't speak to them. If I can't speak to them, if we don't have a signal, whether I'm calling them or they're calling me, phone shouldn't ring. You must need, you know, 2.5 bars for the phone to ring. I've had 80 times a month I pick up the phone. Hello? Hello? That doesn't work. Then you hang up. Then you have to do that thing where you go, all right, well, I'll just have to drive in a circle until they call back. And really, L.A., can't we get it together with this? Danny, you're in Chicago, right?
Yes, sir.
Your phone probably works better in Chicago calling L.A.
I just called Angie right now to let her know I was here this morning, clear as a bell.
Right. And if you were driving down Highland or going through Laurel Canyon or anywhere in the hills up on Mulholland or just certain spots where it drops out in Los Angeles, you wouldn't be able to do that.
No. And if I may tag on or piggyback, I believe they call it, onto your complaints, there is the other side of that. And I'm sure I use an excellent telephone. I have the Sprint Trio. It's an excellent phone.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm sure there's a feature that guards against misdialing, but my ass dials my frequent phone numbers.
I know.
Numbers. My ass dials the people I dial the most. And if you ask my wife, she'll say infidelity and being a drunk and all that stuff. But the thing that she said, I want a divorce when I got home, I sat down at one of those artsy-fartsy coffee bars. Some girl came up, sat down next to me. We started flirting. I said, oh, no, my wife and I are talking about a separation. Mm. We weren't.
Right.
I just thought it would be a good idea to tell the hot chick at the table that we were. And my wife was listening to the whole thing because my ass had dialed her.
Wow. Speaking of artsy-fartsy, when Danny farts, it calls a guy named Art. That's how it's fun.
That's how talented I am, yeah.
Hey, Frank Caliendo?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, great to speak to you, Frank.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, hey, congratulations on, obviously, we've not aired the new Frank TV show yet, but boy, does TBS seem excited about this.
Yeah, two words for all the people who are fans of baseball. I'm sorry.
I have not seen, I've seen stuff on bigger networks and, you know, ABC and CBS and stuff like that. But, man, I've not seen a cable network get behind a show this often and this early. before.
I'll tell you what's even funnier, that when we did all those promos for the baseball playoffs that some people loved and drove some people nuts, we had not even shot a single show yet.
Really?
So they did all these ads, and we had not shot a single show. It was just crazy. I was walking down the street in New York City the other day, and a guy looks at me like I'm nuts. And I'm like, what? I don't say this, but I telepathically must have told him, like, what, you know, asked him, what's the deal? He motions over to the right. I look over. There's a 200-foot-tall version of me on a building.
Wow.
Finally, I was the right height for my weight.
I was going to say, without the building, if you've got a guy in New York and he looks at you like you're nuts, you're probably nuts.
There's a guy who knows, speaking from experience.
Yep.
Yes. Got a little Madden
slipped in there.
Hey, boom. Hey, we got a Bonaduce.
Nice.
Hey, Caliendo, can I ask this? I assume that the guys who do great impressions like yourselves, partly God-given and then obviously part talent, almost like an athlete. You have to be a good athlete, and then you have to work really hard in order to play at a certain level.
Adam, I got to say, that's something I would say.
Yeah,
you got to be a great athlete and work at being a great athlete to be a great athlete, and then boom, you could be a great athlete.
You must be over the moon about Brett Favre, John Madden.
Oh, my Brett Favre's back. And your defense is in trouble. Hey, no. My Brett Favre's back.
Yeah, I mean, he has a man crush on Brett Favre. And, you know, they were telling Brett, you know, last couple seasons, you're getting a little long in the tooth, buddy. You're throwing a lot of picks. Maybe it's time to hang it up. But Brett said, no, I'm going to play one more year. And everyone went, oh, geez, it's always so sad. And he's tearing up the league.
Yeah, I'm on. I almost said I because I think of Brett as part of me, an extension
right.
of me.
Yeah,
but I'll tell you what.
You wish.
you have no idea.
Really, this is so. This man crush is really deep. Then.
Hey, he's my BFF, my Brett Favre forever. You know, when you start using his name as an adjective, he's Brett Favreless. Then you know.
Hey, Frank Caliendo, I was looking down on the list of folks at George Bush's, De Niro's, and all that kind of stuff, but then I spotted Jim Rome, and it struck me, I haven't heard people do Jim Rome, although I would love to hear what your Jim Rome sounds
like. Ridiculous. What is going on right now? Probably the best show you guys have ever done in your entire lives.
Hey,
phenomenal. Now I'm going to pause for no reason.
That's what I was going to say. You got to do the good five Mississippi of silence.
You just cracked me up with the five Mississippi of silence. Incredible.
Hey, maybe Jim Rome should actually count out loud the five Mississippis he's not going to talk for. That would
I'm going to pause for no reason. One Mississippi, two Mississippi, three Mississippi, four Mississippi, five.
I just started doing Barkley is the new one I've been doing.
Oh, really?
I've keyed in on the word terrible.
Because
when Charles says terrible, he doesn't say terrible. He says, I was terrible. That's a terrible, terrible thing. And I was crazy. That's a crazy. I got to do it with him. I did do the impression of him with him on the NBA on TNT last week. And it was surreal because they kept cutting to him and his mouth wasn't moving. But I was doing the voice. And it was like, that's crazy. That does not sound like me at all. That's not even close. And by the way, Kim Jong-il is crazy. That guy's nuts. He's going to blow up the world. Back to you, Ernie.
Is he terrible?
Terrible, T-R-B-L. Same thing as on my stereo. Bass and terrible.
I can personally tell a great impression by a Pacino. I can tell a Pacino a mile away.
Okay, what do you want?
Jesus.
How are you? Come on. The funny thing about Danny is he thinks he hasn't met me before.
But he has.
He has.
Where did I meet you?
Sorry, I cut you off. What are you talking about?
I was just asking where have we met.
This is Frank. Hi, how are you? I've been on different shows you've done.
Right, I know that, you spaz.
Now, Frank, how many times?
What I'm talking about Pacino.
Frank, how many times would you say you've met Danny?
How many times? I've met Danny two or three times. One time he had me call his wife as Pacino, actually.
That's funny. That's a good
I'm sorry if I'm making you do this, but okay, I'll call her.
Wait, was that your Danny?
I think it was.
Wow, somebody does an impression of me, and that's really, aside from Klugman, that's awesome.
Hey, Frank, who did, you must have known growing up, you grew up in Wisconsin, right?
Yeah.
Born in Chicago, raised in Wisconsin. When did you know you sort of had this gift? Because I really do think it is a gift. It's something you can develop, but it's hard to give it to somebody if they don't have it. Were you mimicking your school teachers, your moms, your dads, you know, that kind of thing?
Yeah, I had a school, a history teacher, Mr. Christensen, I knew nothing about geography. I was the worst in the world. He's like, let's go to our math expert, Frank Caliendo. He's going to come up here and look like an idiot. And I would just go up there and I would just do his voice and mock him. It was just friends in school. I would do stuff like that. And then when I went to college, I just looked in the mirror one day and jutted my chin out and was like, how would you like some nacho cheese flavored Doritos? And I realized, you know what, I could do this. And I graduated from college and just thought, you know, why not try it? I wanted it to be like an ESPN anchor or something like that, and it didn't work out, and it probably worked out for the better.
Was Leno one of your earliest impressions?
Yeah, that was really the first one. What I try to do is that thing where instead of doing the character, from movies, like sometimes somebody will say, hey, do you do a Tom Hanks? You know, like, life is like a box of chocolate.
Right.
No, that's not Tom Hanks. That's a Forrest Gump.
Right.
So it's like with the Robin Williams, you take that low key, that hello guys, how are you? One way to grow a beard and try and win an Academy Award. You know what I'm saying? Just be truthful to yourself. Here we are.
Yeah, I know the somber, thoughtful Robin Williams. We have a clip, by the way, I think of Jimmy Kimmel doing Frank's NFL pick. I want to hear that from last week. I think that was last Sunday, right?
Yeah. He hit me hard on the picks. It was great.
Well, let's listen.
It's a beautiful day. I'm calling in sick. Somebody else can make fun of those guys. Where's my phone? Yeah, it's me. Could you fill in for me today?
You sick? He's sick. But Frank, how are people going to lose money without your picks? Frank? He hung up. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kimmel. I used to do this every week, and I'll be honest, I've missed it. I miss making the picks, and I miss the guys. I miss Chris and Frankenstein and that old bald lady. They were like family to me, right, Cousin Sal?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's good to be back. It's good to even be allowed on a football show. This week I'm going to give you some good ones for a change. I like the Eagles over the Redskins, Cowboys to beat up the Giants. The
4-0, I think Kimmel went.
Absolutely,
by the way.
The Chargers surprised the Colts. That's the Eagles, Cowboys, Packers, and Chargers. I'm Jimmy Kimmel, making it rain.
And that's his thing. He's been saying it ever since I've known him.
Really?
Making it rain. Hey, Frank.
What does
so
it mean?
That's what you do when you're Pac-Man Jones and you go to a strip club. You make it rain. You take bundles of money and you toss them into the air.
Oh.
Now, what I like to do is I have a little twist on making it rain. I take one of those air cannons that they used to fire T-shirts out of at a Lakers game, and I fill it with Euros. And I just fire it all over the strip club.
See, back in the 80s, I would go and say, I'm Danny Bonaducci, and I'm making it snow. And you'd be really popular.
Frank, you wanted, I take it you always had a love of sports and a love of impersonations, right?
Yeah, and a little bit of a love of food.
And, well, I'll tell you, it's the ultimate testament to Frank Caliendo is he doesn't look anything like any of the people he's doing the impersonations of, but as soon as he makes the face, and that's the point, it's the impression, half the impression is the voice, or maybe three-quarters of it's the voice, but there's that small part, and it's not prosthetics, where the face just starts to look like George Bush's face. Not because you're putting a fake nose on or a wig on, just because it takes that shape. And that's a weird one. And I wonder if it's attached to the same gene that can do it sonically. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I mean, I think it is. I think it all ties in together. When I do these impressions, it's like I'm looking in a mirror. It's funny because when I'll go back and watch the stuff, I'll be like, oh, God, I look nothing like what I thought I looked like. Because it's like when I look at Bush, I'm looking in the mirror and seeing myself.
Right.
But when I watch it on TV, it's still just me. I didn't lose, 40, 50 pounds to be able to do it. So it's, I just get disappointed in myself. I like to think of the show as live-action South Park.
Well, it
little
is.
Little round guys running around.
I have a question for you. There is, Adam and I do, it's a running gag that has a smidge of reality in it. My girlfriend is very young and grew up and has most of her sexual education from a show that Adam used to do called Love Lines. And I think there may be a little bit something between them that Adam is unaware of because they never met. But every now and again, I think she wishes I would put on my Corolla mask when we would do it. Do you ever get girls that say, hey, can you do me as Pacino? Hey, can you do me as Bush?
Well, no, no. You know what? You know, the Madden would be the worst, you know. Hey, put it in, take it out, boom, you're done.
Yeah. And all the talk about Brett Favre in between.
Hey, that's a pass.
Hey,
split
can you...
the uprights.
Before, Frank Caliendo, by the way, Frank TV, TBS, Tuesday nights, 11 o'clock. Frank, before we split, can you can we just ask Letterman quickly about the writer's strike and what's going on with that?
I'd rather you didn't, Adam.
What's going on?
Let's go to Paul. Paul, what do you think? I hope it gets over and everybody gets treated fairly.
Frank Caliendo, also, Frank Caliendo all over the place, airs tonight on TBS 1 hour stand-up special. Frank, good luck to you, my brother.
Hey, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Nice talking to you, man.
I like Frank.
Me too.
Talented guy.
Apparently we've met.
And a good guy, evidently.
He's very impressive, not just the impressions, but that he can improvise as the people.
Yeah, I know. Some guys pretty much have to stay to the script when they can do that. He's all over the place.
No, he was brilliant, man.
As his show would dictate. All right, we need to take a break. Hey, when we come back, yes.
I'm sorry to interrupt, buddy, but I'm on the 11th floor. And security rules are I have to be 25 feet away from the front door to smoke.
Mm.
Can we just record like, you're right, Adam. I couldn't agree more. Just in case I'm running late.
I think we can do some virtual, Danny.
Yeah, I think you want to do that again and Brian will record it cleanly.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Oh, no, I agree completely, Adam. Oh, I disagree vehemently. T?
That was good.
Okay.
Good. Yeah.
No, wait. I need one clean. I'm buying a condo.
Okay, wait.
I'm buying a condo.
Okay.
Do
I think
need
we got
anything
it.
Else?
All right, you know, just in
no,
case.
No, we're good.
Okay.
No, just in case. One more. God, Adam, you are the funniest man in the world. I don't even know why you need me. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be quiet for, say, the next minute and a half, just because you don't even need me. That's how funny you are.
Good.
Yeah, right, that way, if I'm not here, it makes perfect sense.
Oh, you want to give one random condom pocket.
Good.
There we go. Let's see.
And the underwear has a condom pocket.
All right. Now we're good. Now, Danny, you can go back to the hotel now.
Okay. Thanks, buddy.
Smoke out. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, here's the topic I want to get into. I was watching CNN this morning, and I'm curious. There's that guy. He's a cop. He's out of I don't know where, but he's been married 4 times. The one wife died in the bathtub, except for there was no water in it when they found her. They're exhuming her body. The other woman is missing. And now the first wife is coming forward and saying, this guy made threats against my life and beat the crap out of me. Now, they need to find a body. If they don't find a body, there's probably no case against this guy. I work this way. If this is your fourth wife, we talked to her family. She said to her family through multiple phone calls, you threatened to kill her. Now she's missing. Your other wife mysteriously drowned in a bathtub with no water. And your first wife told her family members, you threatened to kill her. I don't need a body.
You're so right.
Wait a minute, Brian.
Not now, Brian.
Oh. My point is, that's the way I roll. That's enough for me. I don't know that it's enough for our court system, but I'm curious if it's enough for you. Do you want to live in a society where we throw a guy in jail forever with no real evidence other than I know he did it?
Yeah.
Yes. Good enough for me. 866-901-ANIM. We'll play the story from CNN and you can weigh in.
At AdamCarolla.com.
You say, and I say, you say, and I say, let's call the whole thing off. You like,
yay!
And I like, you like,
yay!
And I like,
yay!
Yay! Call the whole thing off. Wow.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Good times.
Nicely done.
Danny.
Yeah.
I thought you were out smoking.
I was. I made it.
All right. Yeah. Bonaducci over there in Chi-Town. We're out here in Los Angeles.
Where it's a degree.
1 degree.
1 degree.
And what do you got, a two-hour difference over there?
Yeah. I'm looking at 8:47 right now.
So it's warming up at least. All right.
13 minutes before 9 here in Chi-Town.
I was watching CNN this morning, and I was checking out this cop who's had 4 wives. And I'm very much a believer in where there's smoke, there's fire. And as far as the legal system goes, we do this thing where we act like it's the biggest tragedy if one innocent person gets locked up. And once in a while, some J.O. will say, I'd rather 1,000 murderers go free than one innocent man. I'm exactly the opposite.
Me too.
If an innocent guy gets burned every once in a while, so be it.
I regret there's only one innocent guy to kill for this country.
I agree. Who said that? Payne?
Yeah, it was Payne.
The point is, this guy's had 4 wives. They can't find his 4th wife. His 3rd wife, they're exhuming because she drowned in the bathtub, although there was no water in it when they found her. They really should have looked into that one. And his 1st wife says they made a lot of death threats and was worried for her life and her safety, as her family tells it. And the fact that this stuff is not admissible oftentimes, like the fact that there was 1,000 calls with Nicole Brown saying he's going to kill me to 911 operators, and then we find you dead a month later, and that's neither here nor there as far as the court system goes, is ridiculous. And you know that part where it's like, well, that could taint the jury? Yeah, it could get them to think that maybe the guy who threatened to kill her a month ago actually did carry through with his threat. Yeah, but let's just go ahead and do it with anything. If my neighbor's house got egged and I had 1,000 phone calls where he recorded me to 911 operators or recorded himself saying, Adam threatened to egg my house, I'm sorry, but it should be brought into court. I assume the guy's guilty just because he's been married 4 times. His wife is missing. His other wife was dead. And he had other wives that said he threatened to kill them. And he's a cop. Now, how does that work? Well, here's how the cops work. They're good ones and they're bad ones. And when they go south, they go Harvey Keitel, bad lieutenant south.
Yep.
That's the way they go. And I'm assuming this is one of the bad ones. T.
Yeah.
You have the story in front of you, Bald Brian. Do we have it queued up? Let's hear CNN this morning.
Well, there are more allegations now swirling around an Illinois cop whose young wife has been missing now for more than 2 weeks. Drew Peterson's 2nd of 4 wives is now speaking out. Vicki Connolly was married to Peterson for 10 years in the 80s. She says that during their marriage, Peterson beat her and threatened to kill her and said he could make it look like an accident. Investigators are now looking into the death of his 3rd wife, which initially was ruled an accidental drowning despite questionable circumstances. Savio's body was exhumed earlier this week.
Yeah, bad times with the exhuming. That's a grave digger and the guys that are putting the casket in the ground. That's a rough gig. Taking the casket out 5 years later, worst gig.
Worst gig.
And here's all I ask from the news agencies. First off, do not be surprised when the body's in remarkably good shape when you pull it out. It's always a little surprise. Body's intact. Evidently bodies do pretty well in death. Not nearly as bad as we thought.
Yeah, is it Stalin or
Yeah, I think
Lenin.
It is Stalin. Oh, maybe Lenin.
It's Lenin.
Yeah.
It's like in perfect condition. That's a fake. That's a Ruski fake.
They say that's a fake. I actually saw Lenin.
Really?
It doesn't look real. It looks a bit waxy.
Mm.
I saw John Lennon. He looked the same way.
You actually went there?
Yeah.
And you went to Russia and looked at it, or at least the former Soviet Republic or Union or whatever it is?
Yeah, whatever. Clear box.
Really?
Yeah.
So my feeling is, where there's smoke, there's fire. I feel like the guy must have killed the person. But do you guys want to live in a society where we throw him in jail if we never find the body? And are people lying too much? We stop listening to people. Like, if you have a second wife that was married to him for 10 years and she comes out and says, yeah, he beat the crap out of me and threatened to kill me all the time, shouldn't we believe that? I believe it.
No.
Why?
Because if she's an ex-wife, now my soon-to-be ex-wife has been playing such fair ball. But imagine my wife, the Christian goody two-shoes, saying, I beat her, I used drugs in front of the children, I whatever. Everyone would believe her.
Of course.
Well, when you get a divorce, in most cases, things get really nasty. So, no, I don't think she should necessarily be believed. She may just hate him.
I know.
That I don't think he necessarily did it. I'm just saying you cannot really take the word of a divorce or, in this case, a disgruntled ex-wife.
You know, it's weird because my parents weren't fans of each other and they got a divorce and all that kind of stuff. But my dad in a kabillion years or my mom in a zillion years would have never said my dad beat her if he hadn't. And as vitriolic and as bad as a lot of these things get, I still don't know if you'd manufacture the beating.
Why I'm saying my wife's being so good by saying I never beat her. I beat her all the time.
Michael?
She just says I didn't.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't think you should be arrested or put in jail just because there's a couple suspicious women, you know? I mean, women
They're not suspicious, they're dead.
To anything, man.
Well, one of them's dead.
Well, one of them's dead. So not enough.
No, heck no, man.
Yeah, but
what
about his weird mustache?
Yeah, isn't that enough?
Well, what kind of mustache is it?
Well, it's a cop mustache, but it's weird. He really looks
He's a cop.
He looks like Bruce Willis put on some weight for a role.
Wait, the cop thing has changed your mind, Michael?
Yeah, the cop thing made me change my mind.
Thanks, Michael.
Michael, any chance you're a brother?
What was that?
Any chance you're a brother?
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely, I'm mixed, man. I'm half white,
good.
Half black.
So definitely not a Jew.
Half you hate the cops.
So, how do they racially profile you? Pull him over. No, let him go. Pull him over.
Pull his right side over. That's how they work.
No, they pull over the wrong side.
Ironically, they're driving a black and white when they pull him over. Very ironic. All right, let's ask Steve over here. Steve?
Yeah.
You have a theory about this.
I sure do. He's got four total wives. One of them's missing. One of them's dead. Mm-hmm. And the other two are saying he's made death threats. I don't know. Just 2 + 2 is always equal 4 to me.
Also, he's a cop, so he can work this stuff out.
Generally.
Yeah.
How many times has, you know, somebody mysteriously died involving a police officer, and, you know, he's suspended with pay while they investigate? They find out nothing happened. It's like, okay.
Well, he's...
Drunk.
His... His whole thing is she's run off with another guy. But if she's run off with another guy and her picture's been all over CNN for the last 3 weeks, if she just moved a trailer park in Florida, isn't somebody in the next trailer getting on the blower and calling somebody and going, hey, that chick you've been looking for? Yeah, she just walked into my restaurant 10 minutes ago. She's sitting in a booth with her new boyfriend. Like, do you think she ran away with a new guy to where? The island of Tonga and got plastic surgery? Do you know what I'm saying?
Actually, that's weird that you would pick that. That's exactly what I thought.
I mean, obviously,
this bitch is in Tonga with plastic surgery.
Obviously, if she's around, she would see the news. And doesn't she call her family? Here's how you know she's not around. Her family keeps coming forward going, we love her, and she was worried to death and blah, blah, blah. T.
Yeah.
If you're missing and everyone thinks you're dead, including your family, don't you pick up the phone and call moms or call your sister and go, hey, guess who's still alive? Guess who's living in Arizona?
Don't worry. I just took a little me time. I'm in Arizona. I'm not dead.
Right.
Close enough.
I'm a fan of due process probably more than you guys. But even in this case, don't you just want to prosecute him on the come on?
No.
Yes.
You put him on the stand and you go, come on.
I'd like to put him on the stand. I would prosecute him, but my guilty verdict is not a no. It's a recent phenomenon, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, that you need a body. You used to need a body.
Right.
If you didn't have a body, you didn't have a murder. You need habeas corpus. Now... You don't. They have put people even to death without ever finding the body.
Right.
But there was a very, very famous case,
and
not that long ago, where a fisherman went missing, and all the other people that were fishing with him were suspects in his murder. They wanted it. He owed the money. It was a big deal. And not long after that, a shark was caught, and they opened it up, and the guy's arm was in it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a true story, swear on my life.
Mm-hmm.
And a judge ruled, how do I know that this guy isn't sitting on a beach somewhere with one arm drinking a Mai Tai and still would not prosecute the people on the boat?
People versus Mrs. Paul. I remember that case well. All right, we need to take a break. Bonaducci in Chicago. Smoke them if you got them, Dooch man. T-girl.
Yeah.
What's coming up in the news?
Take a listen to this.
Wait a minute.
I'm
The hell?
Yeah. It's the sound of yesterday's Britney Spears news.
No way. Wow.
That sounds like that guy Frank fighting with himself.
We'll get to the bottom of that and the rest of the news next.
Coming up this morning, a visit from the Supes, Joel McHale.
Somehow, I immaculately conceived gonorrhea.
We'll do a little bit of nerd walking at the writer's strike. Find out what pissed Adam off this week on This Week in Rage.
Everyone buckle up for a quick jag.
Talk to the Family Guys, Seth MacFarlane, and comedian Dom Irrera.
Donna? Yeah, Donna. How you doing? How you doing? I'm Donna. Nice to meet you.
All that plus the news of Teresa Strasser and more wildly inappropriate interjections from Danny Bonaducci.
Natural butt plug.
Phone number's 866-901-ADAM. Live coast to coast and streaming the world at AdamCarolla.com. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed, indeed. Bonaducci over there in Chi-Town. Teresa right next to me with the news.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
Yesterday, after a four-year investigation, Barry Bonds was indicted on charges of perjury and obstruction of justice for lying when he told a federal grand jury that he didn't knowingly use performance-enhancing drugs. If he's convicted on all five counts, four counts of perjury, one of obstruction of justice, he could face up to 30 years in prison. Here, Barry's attorney, Michael Raines, offers up a statement on Barry Bonds' behalf about the indictment.
Let me read to you and to the public this statement on behalf of my client, Barry Bonds. All you need to know about the government's case is that it leaked an official indictment to every media outlet in the nation and withheld it from Barry, his lawyer, and everyone else who could read it and who could defend him. Now that their biased allegations must finally be presented in open court, they won't be able to hide from their unethical misconduct any longer.
He is
good.
The most universally hated guy amongst guys who never really did anything to anybody.
I don't like white people.
Except for be a pompous a-hole.
Yeah, but I don't really understand all the allegations against him. I mean, everybody knew or thought they knew he was on roids. What's he going to be indicted on?
Here's perjury. Here's the problem, and I do hate this, and I'm no Barry Bonds fan, but I hate when people do this. If somebody pulled me aside and said, "Hey, Adam Carolla," while I was standing next to my wife, "I hear you're having sex with Teresa Strasser," and I was like, "No, I'm not." "Oh, yeah? Well, now we're bringing you into court, and we're going to ask you the same question with your hand on a Bible and my wife sitting out in the jury. So, did you, in fact, have sex with Teresa Strasser?" No, I didn't. And we found out later that I did, which isn't a crime, although it's an act against nature and God. Not technically a crime, but I lied, and that's a crime. And that's what they're going to get me for. So they don't get me for the thing they said I did. They get me for lying about this thing they said I did. And I don't like that.
I just don't.
It doesn't feel right to me, especially when it comes to cases like this. Now,
there are some cases where it's correct, where you couldn't get Capone, so you got him on tax evasion.
Right.
That doesn't hurt my feelings too bad.
Yeah.
But the fact they asked this guy, "Hey, are you on roids?" "No." And now they're just going to ruin his life. That seems a little harsh.
Yeah. On the other hand, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
Is he really that big? I don't follow sports. Is he that big of an a-hole?
Well, let's put it this
way. It doesn't bother me none.
There's no sports writer, or very few, I've ever heard speak about him in any kinds of terms other than he's a pompous a-hole.
He doesn't have a way with the sports journalists.
No.
I would like to make clear out of everything Mr. Carolla said, because he is obviously the informed one, is I would totally dig having sex with Teresa Strasser.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, me too.
Thank you. Major League Baseball has never identified Barry Bonds as testing positive on one of their tests. So it appears as though there must be some new evidence.
Well, it is one of these things. Sorry, T, but we do talk about that segment that I want to do called Stupid or Liar.
Right.
You know, whenever they talk to these guys and they're like, "Well, the guy from Balco in the chemist lab, the guy with all the guy wearing Coke bottle glasses with the crazy mustache, he gave me something called the Clear, and I would rub it on my ass 3 times a day, and then I would take injections. But I didn't know they were steroids. All I knew is I put on 3 inches on my biceps in 1 week, and my head got to the size of a pumpkin. I never knew. I just assumed it was a vitamin mix. When the guy from the lab gave you the syringe with the Clear stuff in it that said that had 3 bulls on it and said from Mexico and had 4 X's on it. So here's what I'm saying. Stupid or liar? Are you so effing stupid that someone could hand you a syringe, you could inject yourself, your biceps start growing at age 40. All of a sudden, your biceps start growing like you hit a second puberty and your head balloons up to a 10-gallon hoss head? Stupid that you didn't know it, or liar? Stupid or liar? This would be a perfect example for Barry Bonds. Stupid, liar, possibly C. All of the above.
Can I play?
Yes.
Well, with the writer's strike, there's going to be a need for some reality shows, Adam. I think this could...
Stupid or liar?
Could be nice with Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader?
Mm-hmm. By the way, if the Clear that everybody is talking about is HGH, human growth hormone, it doesn't do that much. They're talking about full-blown tests and stuff like that. HGH, which is almost... you can't detect it because we secrete it. We have it. But we just stopped making a lot of it at about 25, and it's super expensive. But if you'd like to see it, I have a prescription. I just didn't see it do anything, so I didn't bother with refilling it anymore. I can bring it into work on Monday and show you what it is.
Please, I don't know if the Clear is HGH or not. It's certainly a designer steroid that's meant to make it past the radar of the folks that screen for these things.
Well, but if you promise to make it sound like a bit and that we're just making it up, I'll bring you anything you want on Monday.
Good times.
Well, if he's convicted and he gets prison time, there's some talk that he'll be stripped of his home run record. Now, then, would it not go to Mark McGwire? And does he not look like he perhaps could have used a little bit of the Clear or the Cream or whatever it was?
McGwire
was only accused of using creatine, which you can get over the counter anywhere. It's a wonderful, wonderful supplement. It's really good.
I think he was accused of being on the juice too, although he copped to the creatine.
Oh.
And again, stupid or liar could be played with Mark McGwire. Mark McGwire, when you see him in his early days over USC and with the A's, he was a long and lanky guy. He turned into a lumberjack. I mean, the guy's thighs grew 9 inches and his biceps grew 5 inches. That stuff doesn't normally happen when guys are in their mid to late 30s. So, yeah, when there's a huge physical change going on in a man, and again, it's one thing when Hank, who's 10 cubicles down, who just subsists off Funyuns and Mountain Dew, decides to get into shape, so he starts going to the Bally's and he drops 40 pounds. This isn't that. These are athletes. These guys spend their entire career in the weight room and on the training field. They eat right. They have supplements. They have diets. They're professional athletes. So, again, when somebody decides to get in great shape because they got divorced and they want to start dating younger chicks and want to drop a few pounds, that's something else. These guys are professional athletes. And to have professional athletes make a change where they pack on 40 pounds of muscle in season 11 of their major league career is suspicious to me. Thank you.
Oh, you're actually technically correct. People work, bodybuilders who have almost no fat and are in the gym constantly work all year to put on 2 pounds of pure muscle. Right. All year to put on 2 pounds because they're already roided out as far as they can go.
Yeah.
The human body after the age of 30 is not made to get harder and slimmer. It's made to get softer and fat. No, that's the way life works.
It's God and nature did that so you'd fit into the casket more easily.
No, see, I look at like God made the scientist so I don't have to live like that.
Right.
That happens when you're 30?
Yeah, you start tea.
So I'll look forward to that
in
next
9
week.
Short months. No. Look,
I'm concerned now.
When you're, 15 to 18, those kinds of changes happen in the male body.
You were telling us yesterday you put on 40 pounds between 15 and 16.
Right, but between 35 and 38?
No way.
Nothing. Just a little trouble in the Peckaroo department. That's all.
Oh, no.
Little I can fix that for you, Peckaroo. Too.
All right, T, what do we got?
There's going to be a memorial service for Kanye West's mother, Dr. Donda West, today at Chicago State University out near Danny, where she was an English professor for 24 years. Kanye will not attend. A nephew of Donda's will be there to represent the West family. Mm. Donda, of course, died last Saturday, a day after undergoing cosmetic surgery.
Dr. J ruined it for all people of color with a doctorate.
Right, because she really does have a doctorate.
Right, but whenever I see a black person named Dr. something, I'll be like, Dr. what? Dr. the Jam?
You mean Dr. Cosby's not?
About Dr. Cosby, Janice.
Cosby picking up all those freebie doctorates from whatever college will fly him out, and Dr. J ruined it for all people of color with doctors.
Well, you mentioned just then, Danny, Dr. Jan Adams, with whom you worked on The Other Half, which was sort of like a male version of The View.
Mm-hmm.
It was supposed to be. It was actually me and then three guys lying about what they believe about women.
Oh. And that didn't work?
No. Are you kidding? Mario Lopez, here was a question. Do you really have less respect for a woman who would have sex with you on the first date? Mario says, well, I have sisters, so I really wouldn't know. I wouldn't have sex with a girl on the first date because I like women to be treated the way I would like my sisters to be treated. I don't know a bigger whore than Mario Lopez. And I include myself in that, and I try hard.
Right.
Okay? This guy's a tramp. So, basically, one of the reasons the show didn't work, Dick Clark would tell the truth, but he would tell the truth of a 75-year-old man, and it was not necessarily the way things would go today. Mario would lie his ass off, and Dr. Jan would just say something mean. And then I'd say, I'd like to sleep with that girl in the audience right now, if that's possible, and I'd like her twice as much as a girl who made me wait till tomorrow.
I would watch that.
It was, yeah. You know what Entertainment Weekly called it?
What?
The Danny Bonaducci Show with three guys watching.
Well, you know, Mario.
Make it four, I was watching.
Mario Lopez says he's been in touch with Jan Adams, the doctor.
Oh, yeah. Dear Lord, no. Tell me he didn't do the unthinkable.
What?
Oh, I see, the doctor. Okay.
Yeah.
I thought he was in touch with Dr.
No, Mario will not have any of his skin touched. You want a guy to bore you all day? Ask Mario Lopez about foreskin.
Oh, yeah.
He's crazy about that.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You shouldn't circumcise your children. It's like, Mario's a friend of mine. I really do like him a lot, but I remember he gave up beer and wine for Lent, and we were on tour, and somebody gave him champagne, and, no, and I couldn't convince him that champagne was wine.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't convince him for all the money in the world that, no, if you really gave up wine for Lent, you can't have any of that. That's wine, I promise. And he didn't believe me.
Well, it's the way a lot of religious folks work. They beat the Bible on a technicality like it's an IRS rule book. All right, T, what the hell were you saying?
Us Weekly is reporting that Kanye West was in London rehearsing for a tour when his mother died, and he stayed there so that he could grieve privately. And no one's heard from him yet.
Well, as I've said, it's tragic when anyone's mom passes away, but when a black guy's mom passes away, it is devastating because they love their moms. They really do. Well, as white guys, we're cool.
Lukewarm.
Look, let's face it. They didn't work 9 jobs and, put us through college washing other people's floors. Our moms were the moms who got their floors washed because they were too lazy to do it themselves. See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When they talk about my moms, you know, when they have that black athlete, she's like, the guy's like, I love my moms. And the reason I have my mom's birthday written on the hood of my Jaguar is because my mom would work 3 jobs. She worked cleaning houses. And then at night she'd work as a nurse. And then there. Now, the reason they love their mom more is because it was our house they were cleaning. Our moms didn't go to their house and clean the floors. They hung out. They waited for the black chick came over to clean the floors. Not my mom, but you know what I'm saying.
Because my mom once, my mom and dad got divorced and we couldn't access any of that Partridge Family money. She did not, we were completely poor. I think it's actually, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, I'm going to say it's a cultural thing, it's a white thing and a black thing, because the second my mom becomes any kind of hassle at all, I'm just going to pray for her death. I'm not kidding, the whole thing.
I don't know how God works, but I'm not sure if he grants those kinds of prayers.
Why don't you call me Betty?
Because you're supposed to be dead by now.
Don't say anything bad about Betty.
I love Betty. It's just she's 80-something, and she's still fine, and she sings at the gay bars all the time. She's having a wonderful time. I'm just telling you, if she gets a bunion, and I have to go out of my way to have it lanced, I'm going to go, okay, die soon.
I wonder if you can get that stitched on a pillow.
Embroidered on a toaster cozy.
Oh, that'd be nice for Betty. Britney Spears ran over her fourth foot in less than a month.
Good.
On Wednesday night, she drove over the foot of one of the paparazzi who were swarming around her car. She tried to pull into the parking lot of the Four Seasons Hotel in Beverly Hills. Let's take a listen to the melee.
Hey, back up! Back up! Back off the drive, gentlemen. This won't happen.
Now, for a couple things.
Somebody just made sense at the end.
I had a very scary thought moments ago when I was hearing about this, which is, this is a viable job now, paparazzi. This job didn't exist when I was young.
No.
My dad didn't have to worry, not that he ever gave it any consideration at all, what I'd do for a living.
Hell yeah.
But hypothetically, if he did spend 10 minutes wondering what anyone in his family did for a living,
I was pop water.
He would have had to wonder if I was going to be a paparazzi. Now, he didn't have to. I have a young son. He could be a paparazzi. That scares the bejesus out of me.
It's a weird job.
I may have to blind him. So Danny, come over and bring your cigarettes this weekend. I couldn't imagine this guy doing that for a living. It's a job that's out there. And these people are probably somewhere between meter maid, publicist, and divorce attorney on the sort of cosmic crapo wheel. This is a horrible, these guys are pariahs. And anyone, as I've said many times, if you want to jump in front of a 4,000 or 5,000 pound automobile with 300 horsepower and a coked up starlet behind the wheel wearing candies and one foot resting very precariously on the accelerator, or maybe better yet, halfway between the brake pedal and the accelerator where one of her espadrilles could be lodged, who's eating a gordito while yelling at a lapdog and trying to restrain her kid with her right arm instead of putting a seatbelt on. If you want to stand in front of that car, so be it. I don't mind if your ass gets ran over.
I'm with you when you said for me to come by and make sure to bring my cigarettes. I have actually said this to your face. I've said, you know, there are some things, Adam, because you're clever and you're a gentleman, that I truly think are beneath you, but they're not beneath me. Just unleash your dog.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the things I hate to admit that I think I'm really good at.
So
if I can't have my own vengeance, I will happily have yours. So just sick them.
I just want you to blind my son with your cigarettes.
No problem, done.
You have to blind him with both eyes, because we have a shooter at TMZ that I think is blind in one eye.
So you
actually have to make sure to blind both Sonny's.
You got to go both ways with the paparazzi. One, it's a viable job these days. The other is, if you blind your child so they don't become a paparazzi, then I have to blind my child, who called me the other day and said, Daddy, everybody at school says you have a small penis.
Oh, no.
How embarrassing.
No.
She's 12. Now try telling. How do you get out of that conversation? Because the only way out of it is to tell your 12-year-old how big your penis is. You can't do that either.
Mm-hmm.
So you just lie and say it's not your penis, that Perez has just attached a small penis to my body and it's a fake picture. You know, how do you get out of that? Aside from maybe not taking your pants off in public.
I was going to say, yeah, that would prevent it.
Well, don't be stupid, T. What else am I going to do?
Wow. Good point. You were at the erotic exotic ball.
I showed both of them.
There's nothing in any parenting handbook that prepares you for that. There's nothing Dr. Spock has ever written that prepares you for the call from your 12-year-old daughter wanting to know why daddy's penis is so small.
Yeah, and I'm just picturing the therapy session later. Like, you know, it was hard when I was 12 and I went to school and all the kids had seen my dad's penis on Perez Hilton.
This reminds me, though, peoples.
I can't believe anything about my 12-year-old daughter calling me up and saying you have a small penis reminds you of anything. I can't wait to hear it.
I'll tell you, I have a definite plan. I've been talking about it for years, and now that I have my own young children, it's time to put my money where my mouth is. I have always said this. Many, many friends of mine complain that their dads have huge honkers and that they don't.
Yeah.
And I always think to myself, well, how is it that your dad has a huge honker and you don't, times all these buddies of mine? And then they tell you the story. When I was six, I took a nap and I got up early and I walked out into the hall and my dad was stepping out of the shower and he didn't know I was there. He was drying his hair and that thing was massive. I never seen anything like it. Now, here's the problem. Yeah. It was seen through the eyes of a six-year-old, and you're right about waist height at that age. And if you look down and see what's in your underoos, there ain't much cooking down there when you're sick. Chances are your dad wasn't hung. He was just an average-sized guy. It's just your perspective. Your head was 3 feet off the ground. That thing came down like a ring microphone, and daddy looked massive. I've decided I would like my children to have the same experience. It's nice. Later on in life, when the kids hit puberty and they're doing that guy talk and they're going, oh, man, my dad's hung like a black rhino. Hey, Mr. Corolla, be nice to enter that room. You know what I'm saying?
You should set that up.
High-fiving friends of your young son's friends. All right, here's what you do. Now, you don't want to do anything creepy or inappropriate, so here's what you do.
Okay, that ruled out all my ideas, thanks.
First, just a light mineral oil. I'm not saying douse yourself.
It should glisten a bit.
Just enough to wink at the kid. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying dripping in mineral oil.
It should catch the kid's eye.
Just a little bit. And I'm not saying you go into the bathroom and pretend like you're shooting a porn movie in the next room and get fluffed or anything by the maid. Well, I'm just saying, get a little blood circulating.
Right.
You know, just, it's that thing, you know, like, not like you woke up in the morning with full-blown wood, but it's that thing you get right after you take your morning whiz, where you have just a little extra something coursing through the veins down there.
Well, then maybe you can help me with this, Adam.
Yeah.
Because my obviously you can't help me with my 12-year-old being scarred for life. But maybe you can help me. I do not like the world. I mean, whoever saw that picture thinks that I have almost no penis. It just happened to be the motion I was in. Things were flying up that made other things kind of vanish. Mm-hmm. So I have been thinking about posing fully naked in a real magazine.
Smart.
But aren't all naked pictures of men meant for other men? Isn't Playgirl really for gay people?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, here's the question then. A, do I care? Or B, is there a naked man magazine for women? Because I really wish to redeem. I mean, it's not like I have a huge one or anything. Yeah. It just looks ridiculous. It looks like a turtle head.
Right.
In that picture. I must redeem myself.
Right.
How do you suggest I do that?
Well, the pornography for women is called the Neiman Marcus catalog.
Right.
Okay, right.
They can masturbate to that. They can look at themselves at diamonds and bracelets and all sorts of
stuff. But they don't actually show the wang, right?
And Neiman Marcus, yeah, there's full frontal.
There's full frontal?
Yeah, it's just the guys standing by a new Mercedes AMG edition.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how to remedy that. I can tell you, if you'd like to come over and poison the minds of my children, you're more than welcome, because I have another 18 months or so to pull this baby off.
And I can save you.
The question, how?
Because things go in proportion no matter what guys say. Oh, yeah, I'm only 5'6" and my shoe size is only 9.5", but I'm hung like a horse. I'm not. I'm not huge. I'm just not as small as that picture. So if I come over and poison the minds of your children and then leave the room and you go, this is what a grown-up one looks like, they'll think you're huge forever, comparatively speaking. So I can remedy your problem. They'll think you're a god for the rest of your life because I'm a full-grown man to them.
Here's the problem, Danny.
Showing you my wiener to your kids?
Well, if we turn it into a full-on penis parade, then I feel like it could warp them a little bit.
Okay, I'm with you. Fine. That's why you're the boss.
According to my plan, it's just a light dusting of mineral oil. Make sure the sunlight's catching you just right. Get a little blood flowing. And then don't come out of the closet like Bill entering Mr. Fister. Ta-da! No. You come out. And by the way, if I had a gay bar, you know, this would be a great invention for the gays. Bill, write this down. Ta-da! Hello, boy! This is going to be better than my gay energy drink. You know, my my gay Durade, that one, with the extra vitamins and minerals the gays require.
Genius.
This is going to be better than that one. They lose a lot of fluids, Brian. Do not laugh.
A lot of
electrolytes flying in every direction. You go into a gay bar. But this one's better. Write this down, Bill. Sell it to your gay friends.
All right.
You know, those businesses like liquor stores and places like that, little shops, when you walk in, they have that little light beam by the front door and it makes that bang, bang, you know, lets the shop clerk know somebody's just walked in the front door.
Yeah.
And all gay businesses, ta-da! That's the whole thing. So when you come walking into the gay-owned liquor store or the gay bar or the gay fill-in-the-blank, there's none of that annoying,
ta-da!
Not that annoying beep, beep, beep thing. Ta-da!
Well, I don't know if Bill can sell that.
I like it, but I also like, hello.
All right. So back to my plan with my penis and my kids.
Yeah.
I get just a little chub club going down there, a light dusting of mineral oil, and now here's the important part so you don't scar the kids.
Ta-da!
Put the towel over your head and don't make it, you know, as if you're presenting. Come out, put the towel over your head, just give them a quick brush by, just a quick brush, and then it's off to the next room like you never saw them. That will be burned into their psyche.
A brush by?
Just a graze. You know what I mean?
Just a grazing. I can't believe I'm gonna try and correct Adam on his phrasing, but a brush by and a grazing both sounds like you touch them with it.
Yeah. But just ever so slightly, you know, like when you're walking a hall and a coworker's going the other way and you guys, you know, excuse me, you know what I'm saying? I'm not talking about making love to the child. I'm just a grace, just from the right cheek to the left cheek, just, you know, but just
like you're challenging them to a duel.
Good day. Yes. Just a dusting of penis. Just psh,
okay.
You know,
you'll have to get your wife in on this. You'll have to be looking one way.
No,
and Mrs. Crow will have to go, Adam, and you'll have to turn very quickly to see what your wife wants and just smack one of them right across the head with it. He'll remember it forever.
She has already made it very clear in the form of the prenup that she would have no part in this. I stipulated in the prenup I was going to have to oil myself up and expose myself
just
to my young
boy.
Children. No, the boy and the girl. I want them both to spread the word and then wait just a short 10, 12 years later. You'll come home from work, your boy and girl, they'll all be sitting in the kitchen with their little friends, drinking their Sunny D and eating their pizza pockets, and I'll come home from work, and they'll all look at me and start giggling, and then I'll get a high five from one of the guys, and I'll go, what? And I'll go, yeah. And that'll be it. Burned into the psyche, only have to do it once. They'll forever carry out your message, yes?
Yes, I'm Tracy Strasser. That was the news.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Tracy Strasser. You, CNN.
Just a graze.
On the cheek?
Just a graze.
Where?
Just right from the one cheek.
Because they're little.
If this was the NFL, it wouldn't be pass interference. It would be incidental contact.
Got it.
You
yes.
understand?
Wait a minute. I can actually figure this out for you real quick. Amy, come here. Get down on your knees for your child height. I'm serious. I'm not going to take my pants down. Get down on your knees. All right.
This
it would
is
be.
Awesome.
Now, are your kids talking to you? So are they facing you?
They do. You know. They'll be yelling for Elmo.
Right, they're watching Elmo.
Okay, you're gonna hit them on the end of the first cheek, off their nose, and their head will turn. That's all you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just want you to know I fully practiced that for you.
Swear he called me homo. He said Elmo three times, but the middle one was homo. He called Daddy homo.
Did you enter the room by saying ta-da?
Oh, thank you.
Seriously, this sounds like it's calling his dad a homo, right?
What were you doing when he said that?
Just wearing a cowboy hat, nothing else.
I don't know, maybe his dad's brushing his wang against his son.
Was that after that?
Don't turn this into something inappropriate, okay?
What were you doing, Bill?
It does sound like he's calling you a homo.
He definitely is. All right, hey, Danny.
Yes, sir.
Did you hit Amy with your wang yet?
No, I didn't hit her with it. I put my hand out where it would be and on her face. And if she was looking like directly at it and someone called and I turned, it would get the end of her cheek, flicker on the nose, and then She turned her head. So I think you're just going to get part of the cheek and the nose.
All right. Well, I'll work on it. Danny is
Would you like
in...
to practice on Amy? Because I'm sure she would love this.
Oh, I pray her students are listening.
Who's having butt sex?
Danny's in Chi-Town, although he's never shy. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, nerd walking. Yeah. Danny, when you're smoking, hit the ATM out on the street, my brother, because we're doing a spirited round of nerd walking next. We have a tease.
What kind of products does DeWalt make?
Now, this was our own resident nerd, Mike Chaffee, and Mike Chaffee puts together all the clips for us. Mike Chaffee went and spoke to writers during the strike, and you don't think of them as nerds, but think again.
Yeah.
We'll take I consider myself a nerd.
Nerd walking next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaduce, and Teresa Strasser. We sent production assistant Mike Chaffee out to talk to some striking writers and find out if nerds know what the rest of us know. Another round of nerd walking right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, now it wasn't a Trekkie convention, but these guys are writers, and what a lot of people don't know is most writers are nerds. I'm trying to think. They're educated.
Yeah.
They're not active nerds in terms of they're not dressing up like Spock, but
you're that nerd.
They don't know much about building or tools or cars or anything of that nature. So we went out. Do we have an intro to this, by the way? Oh, good.
Nerd walking. Nerd. Mike wants to know if you've heard that he's a big loser nerd. You are all virgins. It's time for nerd walking, because you are nerds. Nerds.
All right. I got my 20 out. Danny has his out. He's in Chicago right now. T has hers. She crazy glued it to her nose. Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations. Can you say something more anti-Semitic, or is that as good as you can do? Try me. I mean, that was just the greed in the nose.
I wouldn't say she's Jewish, but... Yeah.
Usually I stick it to one of my horns.
Yeah. She's a wily North American spotted Jew, so she's horned. All right. So everyone's got their 20 out. Look, I wouldn't make such a big deal out of it if you didn't make such a big deal out of it. I can just smell the angst dripping off you as we get into the later rounds of whatever walking, and you think you may be parting with
That's just the natural pheromone that the North American Jew exudes when it's nervous, dude.
Is that your lucky 20? It's been in your wallet since college. All right, shall we do it?
Yeah.
All right, let's go to
the first
question.
What kind of products does DeWalt make?
What kind of products does DeWalt make? Now, Danny, we oftentimes use you as a gauge for this.
Right.
You know what kind of products DeWalt makes?
I would be specific, and I would say power tools.
Mm-hmm. Well, they do. Now, we'll have to accept power tools.
Yeah.
Will we accept tools?
I think we should.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. DeWalt. T?
I'm going to say the nerd knows.
Mm-hmm. Danny?
The nerd did know. If I know, he knows.
All right. I'm going to go the nerd knows as well. So we all go with a big yes on this one.
What kind of products does DeWalt make?
DeWalt makes cigars.
Oh, my God.
We forgot about the J.O. Ryder joke.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right. Well, the bad news is we all screwed that one up, but the good news is we all screwed that one up. So we're all equal. We're down one. Let's go to the next.
When talking about tires, what does PSI stand for?
Talking about tires. PSI. Danny?
I got to go with any time I know, then they know.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, so I'm saying yes, he knows.
All right. T?
Doesn't know.
Your dad was a mechanic.
Yeah.
You know, make me some juice.
You know PSI.
My dad did rebuilding alternators, generators, and starters.
Oh, really?
No tires.
Did a lot of that work.
That's all he did, rebuild.
Interesting. Yeah. And you'd go in and exchange your crappy one or your broken one. He'd get the core, and then he'd rebuild it.
Yeah.
Life in the fast lane.
Yeah, it was exciting.
The solenoid's what activates the starter. All right. Now, PSI, pounds per square inch.
Does not know.
Does not know. Danny?
I'm going to say he knows.
I'm going to go he knows. Two, he knows. Me and Danny, one does not know. Let's hear the answer.
When talking about tires, what does PSI stand for?
Pounds per square inch.
Oh.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Down one.
Down one goes T. One and one go Danny and the Ace Man. Let's go to the next one.
How long are the end zones in football?
Hmm.
Nerds love the baseball, not as much the football, but mm-hmm. a lot. Sports is a favorite topic of many nerds.
Yeah, a lot of fantasy football going on.
Yeah.
A lot of guys hanging out with a lot of time on their hands. I've been with these writers. Lots of guys with computers and not a lot to do. And that means a lot of checking of fantasy scores and things like that.
What do you think?
Well, it's weird because you don't have to know this answer even if you do follow football. You can follow players and things like that, but I don't know if the average guy knows that the goalpost is 10 feet high. You know what I mean? There's probably a lot of guys that like basketball that don't know the rim's 10 foot high, even though that seems obvious. This is a real coin toss for me. We had a didn't know. We had a do know. I'm going to say does know. Danny?
Wow. I'm saying he does not know.
Does not? All right.
Does not.
I say does. Danny says does not. T?
Does not know.
Does not know. Ooh, I'm close on this one. Let's go. Let's go, you bastard out of work rider.
How long are the end zones in football?
20 feet. No, 20 yards.
Ooh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. The Ace Man may have won on a technicality.
Not combined.
He pluralized it. He said end zones. End zones. End zones. Let's hear the question again.
No!
Let's hear the question again.
How long are the end zones in football?
End zones.
How long are the end zones in football?
Mm-hmm.
20 feet. No, 20 yards.
Mm-hmm. See, the end zones, plural. And yes, 10 and 10 is 20.
Are you done?
No. Come on, I'm technically right on this one. Look, it's not the spirit of the law. It's the letter of the law.
The letter. It's actually the letters of the law, and the letters are F-U.
All right. You idiot. What kind of J-O wouldn't know? All right.
You're maybe talking to one. Yeah. I had no idea.
No. All right. Maybe he's the guy who wrote that Nick Cage movie. Fire F, whatever that movie. Yeah, Ghost Rider. All right, don't get me started on that. All right, so what do we got now? Danny, are you up? Danny's up 2-1. But T and I both 1-2 now. Let's go on to the next one.
Which boxer surprised everyone by knocking out Mike Tyson in 1990?
Well, the answer, of course, is Buster Douglas in Tokyo.
Mm-hmm.
Will not know.
Mm-hmm. T?
Will not know. But we'll guess Holyfield.
That's interesting. I was thinking that, too.
I'm going to go will know just to see if I can get back into this game.
Which boxer surprised everyone by knocking out Mike Tyson in 1990?
James Buster Douglas.
Yes!
James Buster Douglas.
Yes!
Yes!
Wow. Yes.
You're back in this thing.
Love affair back on.
First
and
name.
Are we all 2-2 here now?
Hmm? I'm down. Only got one.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Danny and I tied up 2-2. All right. We going to the last one?
Hang on.
All right. Last question. T, this is a very unusual place for you to be. Behind me and Danny.
I'm off my game.
Normally, we're all tied up at this point. All right.
What team did Walter Payton play for?
Now, let's... Oh, I don't know.
Well,
I should go first and give you the chance to just go opposite on me.
Was it the Chicago Bulls? I mean, Bears?
Mm-hmm.
The only reason I know that is I pulled up next to him in a gas station, and he was black and really rich, and so I just assumed he was Walter Payton and said so, and I thought, oh, my God, unless this guy is, I'm such a racist.
Mm, and it was.
Thank God it was.
It was Sweetness himself.
Sweetness, yeah.
All right, Danny, what do you think?
I say he will not know.
Will not know.
Will not know.
I say he will know. T, you're between a rock and a hard place now.
Yeah. I think that he will not know.
All right. So Danny says will not. If it's will not, he wins. I say does know. If he does, I win. T, you can't win this one, right?
Yeah.
All right. So I say does. Danny says does not. Fitting Danny in Chi-Town this morning.
Wow.
Let's hear the answer.
What team did Walter Payton play for?
Team. Hockey team.
What the hell is wrong with these Riders?
It feels good to at least have...
Listen, I hope this strike goes on for 10,000 years, and I drive by and honk, and there's just a bag of bones with a bunch of signs lying on top of it, and your family goes hungry, and your house is foreclosed on. No, as a matter of fact, your farm. That's right. I hope you guys all buy farms and then lose them, and your wife begins a lesbian relationship with your sister.
All you have to do is go up to the guy and say, black guy, ice skates. That would have ruled that out right there.
Hockey? Hockey? Walter Payton. Sweetness. The greatest of them all. The man who died tragically about 5-6 years ago. Walter Payton. Walter Payton. Jesus Christ.
Speaking of tragedy, do we owe Bonaducci $20?
Yes, we do.
Nerd walking. Nerd.
Dooch man.
Yes, sir.
I would leave it here, and I'd be waiting for you if I didn't think the cheap bastard to do the weekend shows would rip it off. But do not be afraid to remind me come Monday morning, because I got 20 with your name on it. Nicely done, sir. We'll take a break when we come back. Ooh, it's time for This Week in Rage. Let's see what the topics are. 5-1, starting with my wife's family not giving her brother with schizophrenia a new hat. He's wearing the old crazy guy hat. Fat guys on TV doing the plastic surgery on TV. Pat O'Brien with his Sharpie drawing on the 2,000-pound man with his shirt off. And by the way, I understand you're fat, but they make clothing that fits you, right? Why is the shirt off? When they're interviewing the super fat guy from bed and he's hanging on to that chain with the, like he's water skiing behind his ceiling. You know that thing he's hanging on to and his man boobs are sagging down underneath his arms? Is there not a shirt this guy could don? And by the way, do you think we wouldn't get the picture if he was rocking a Hanes? If the guy's in the XXXXXL Hanes, you don't think we could? Like, I see a guy going down the street at 975 pounds just wearing a T-shirt. What do you think? He walks by and I go, there goes another 175-pounder. Oh, where'd I go?
Save it.
Oh, sorry.
Save it.
Oh, that wasn't
hold
even.
It back.
I didn't even get started. Where was I? People using their foot to flush the toilet, walk on the urine soaked floor, and then use their foot. Worse yet, their foot to open the door so I get the whiz handle. Dawson, be prepared. The guy, that's number three. Number two, the guy who wears a tight T-shirt when it's 85 degrees outside and then the scarf. You know, the guy with the super tight, like, Von Dutch T-shirt where it's going way up his thing and everything. And he's got the scarf on. I hate that dude. Uh-oh, 65%, although. Wow, this is a landslide. Number one, Dawson. Our own engineer Dawson.
Dude. I waited for you, man.
Oh, thank you. Walking past two open urinals in a bathroom that had not another soul in it and whizzing into a toilet in a stall and not lifting the seat.
Now, we asked people to vote on AdamCarolla.com. Are you saying?
5%.
Wow.
That is a landslide.
May I say quickly about our mics? Mike Dawson, hardest working Hesher I've ever known.
Dude.
I know it's been a rough couple days for me. Very hard work. And also, Mike Chaffee did a nice job on nerd walking.
Yes, he did.
Thank you.
And as far as Dawson goes, nobody works harder at not lifting toilet seats than Mike Dawson.
I waited for you, man.
Yes. All right, we'll do This Week in Rage next.
It's time for This Week in Rage.
I'm angry.
Where we count down the top five things that made Adam mad this week.
I'll crack your old ass like kindling and kick your ass right to the curb, you old farts.
Gentlemen, start your anger.
Bring it on.
Here's Adam.
Well, I've had a rough week. It just got rougher. You know what I found out? I talked to Mike Chaffee during the commercial break. It turns out the guy who didn't know what team Walter Payton played for.
Yeah.
Not nerd walking. Gay. He was gay.
I see.
Gay
he
nerd.
Was a gay nerd on the picket line.
Yes, and maybe it's closed-minded of me to think you can be both, but I thought we were talking to nerds, not gays.
There's crossover.
You understand, if I knew the man was gay, I may have answered differently.
You couldn't have known. You can't be hard on yourself, but you can be hard on all the things you're mad at.
Thank you, baby. Thanks for the transition. Let's do it.
This week in rage.
I'm angry.
What a dick.
I pay taxes, bitch.
What? Number 5.
Thanksgiving's coming up. That means everybody in my family, my wife's family, is coming over to my house to celebrate / mooch off the Ace Man. And one of the guys who'll be coming out is my wife's crazy brother, schizophrenia. Nicest guy in the world. You wouldn't know he was crazy. He doesn't have a palsy. He doesn't walk with a limp. He doesn't dress as Napoleon. The only reason you know he's crazy is he wears the crazy hat. That's the baseball cap that's been unbuttoned in the back so that the two little plastic things stick straight out. And it looks like it was basted in, like, light crude and tarragons over the weekend, and then I parked a car on it and then stapled it to his head. Yes, he's wearing the hat of a crazy man, and that's how everyone knows around him that he's crazy. He doesn't have to talk. He doesn't have to do anything. He's rocking the crazy hat, and people say, well, what's he supposed to do? He's crazy. He can't change his crazy hat. No, he can't, but you can. You understand? Let me explain. You know who builds the handicap ramps? Not the handicap, the able-bodied people. We build the ramps. Why? We're not crazy. We're able-bodied, and they get to use them. Somebody has to give crazy people normal hats. I took 20 of them out of my closet and dumped it on him at a TGI Fridays 4 weeks ago when we're celebrating his birthday. The one good news is it's the only place you can go for a 45-year-old guy's birthday who's not crazy. The point is I gave him the hat, and he better be rocking my sane hat when I see him on Thanksgiving, not his crazy hat. What's next?
Number 4.
Fat guys on TV doing the plastic surgery thing with the Sharpie. If I see Pat O'Brien circumnavigate another blimpy's fat ass with a Sharpie, I'm going to vomit into my sane man hat. See the way I tied it up there? Look, offensive is offensive, and this is offensive to me. I don't care if you're a right-wing Christian or a hardcore atheist like myself. Seeing 950-pound guys with areolas the size of hubcaps and stretch marks that circumnavigate their body is repugnant, especially at 7:30 in the evening when I'm trying to eat my goddamn Marie Callender's frozen pie. Jesus Christ, when are these guys going to get a shirt? And shouldn't there be a rule that a boob is a boob? If it's attached to a man, it's a boob. If it's attached to a woman, it's a boob. If it's attached to a horse, it's a boob. A boob is a boob. And if we can't see women boobs, then we shouldn't be able to look at man boobs. More offensive when a guy's rocking a D-cup. All right, what's next? Wait, is there a voice that comes up here? Don't make me do 20 minutes on this. Do I hear
number 3?
There we go. People using their foot to flush the toilet and then the same foot to kick open the door of the public restroom. Now, look, you guys are worried about germs. You have a little bit of a phobia. You have a problem. You have a very deep concern for germs. So you don't use your hand to flush the toilet. You use your foot to flush the toilet. So you don't use your hand to open the bathroom door. You use your foot to open the bathroom door. Well, guess who else is concerned about germs? All the sane people that then must place their hand where your stinky urine foot was, and all the sane people that have to use the door where your stinky yellow urine foot was. If you were American Indian, they would call you urine foot. Where's urine foot? Oh, he's flushing a bunch of toilets with his moccasin. You retards. You are not the only person on this planet. I don't want to have to put my hand on it. And now you guys have given birth to a whole new retard. This is a guy who opens the door with a paper towel like he's on a like a CSI crime scene investigator. He's the guy who uses the paper towel to open the effing door because Chief Urinefoot came before him. How about you take that foot and I place it right up your ass? I'm not going to say it. almost dropped an F bomb. This is the a-hole. This is the guy. Now, there's many gays who rock this look, but a lot of straight guys as well. This is a guy who wears the super tight T-shirt. Even though he only goes $1.30, he's wearing this super tight T-shirt, and it's the middle of the summer, and it's 96 degrees outside, but he's also rocking the scarf. Screaming to the world, guess who's artistic, everybody? Oh, you don't think I'm funny? You don't think I'm creative? Talk to the scarf! It's unseasonably hot, and I'm rocking a scarf. I'm wearing a short-sleeve muscle shirt and a scarf. You don't think I'm talented? You don't think I'm creative? Don't make me go get the crappy cabbie hat from the 70s. Then you'll really know I'm a creative entity to be reckoned with. You pussies, go do something creative. Don't dress creatively. Stop spending all your time and calories trying to convince me you're creative. Go home and put pen to paper and do something, you pussies. This crisis town.
Number one.
Effing posers everywhere. Uh-oh. Buckle up, Dawson.
Dude. I waited for you, man.
Oh, we're going right back into the bathroom. Well, somewhere around 9:37 yesterday morning, I was using the urinal, or about to use the urinal here, Dawson. Sidle up to that mic. We're going to gangbang this one, baby. This is going to be cathartic. He just hit himself in the head with the microphone. Now, that's not a bong. No, Dawson, there's no carb on the mic. There's no carb. Telling him all the time. Anything cylindrical that gets near his face, he just starts to... if you rolled up a scroll and handed it to Dawson, he'd be like...
Dude.
I walked into the bathroom and I was right behind Dawson. And I was curious, what direction does Dawson go here? Well, he's past the two urinals that were not manned. We were the only two people in the bathroom. He did not know I was behind him. I was 8 foot behind him, silently, like a ninja, like some sort of bathroom ninja, like some sort of porcelain ninja. I did a shoulder roll, then I popped up behind the paper towel dispensers, then I dropped down, came in through the sink, and popped my head out of the sink, looked around a little again, then did a shoulder roll again, and hid behind the condom dispenser. And I said, where's he going? And he walked into the stall, and he shut the door behind him. And I thought, mm-mm, Dawson has broken one of my rules. He's doing a number two at work, but I'll cut the guy some slack. He's been here since 4 a.m, so he didn't just walk in. He's been at work for 5-6 hours. He's doing his business. But then I didn't hear any plop, plop, fizz, fizz. So I queried. I said, Dawson... I could see the hemp Birkenstocks under the thing, so I knew it was him. I said, Dawson, what's going in there? Dropping a number two? And he said...
Plop, plop, fizz, fizz. Oh, what a relief it is.
He said, what?
Taking a leak.
Taking a leak. But because my urine spidey sense was tingling, I asked a follow-up question. Dawson?
Dude.
Yes? Is the toilet seat up?
Yes. After I put it up.
No! The answer was no. The toilet seat was not up. Thus, he was urinating, first off, into a space that is meant for number twos and ladies and cripples. You understand? You were urinating on a crippled lady's toilet seat.
Yes.
Do you understand that?
Yes.
I do like the handicapped toilet seat that has that little wedgie riser on it. It's like crapping on an apple box. It's awesome. But he did not. And what did he say? He said he had good enough aim to thread the needle, but I know he was high as a kite, and that stuff was coming out like wiper sprays. Matter of fact, I could feel it on me. So not the decency, not the common courtesy to lift the toilet seat. And this just goes to show you what epidemic this is, because Dawson is a good man. In his heart and heart of hearts and his whiz of wheeze, he's a very good man. And if he's capable of this, then anyone is capable of it. Dawson, two suggestions. Either you start flipping up the toilet seat or take it easy on the bong water so you don't have to go three times a day.
Dude.
Yeah, it is. All right. Now go back and make some mediocre promos.
I'm all over it.
Thank you.
Nicely done.
Thank you. Oh, Danny.
Wait, Danny.
I forgot Danny. Yeah.
This week.
Oh, what an ass
in rage.
All right. Wow. We have an embarrassment of riches. Joel McHale is here. Dom Herrera is here. I think Joel looking dreamy as per usual. We'll bring Joel. Are we getting Joel's clips together? You want to bring Dom in first? All right.
I am not a porn star. I have appeared in porn.
Funny man, Dom Herrera, in next. Danny is in Chicago. He'll remain in Chicago, but he'll be chiming in from time to time. Dom Herrera in studio next.
This is the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser.
I'm arguing with this woman at United Airlines. And listen, I spell my name very clearly and succinctly. I go, I-R-R. She goes, R-R-R. I go, I-R-R. R-R-R. Listen to me. I-R-R-E-R-A. R-R-R. What am I, a pirate? R-R-R. My God, they're dropping those stupid security questions. They never nail anyone in. I got to check my bag. Has a stranger packed your bags? You know, it's funny you should ask. I was at home the other night, right? Not one, but two strangers come over to my house. And they say, we understand you're going on a little trip. Is there any chance we could pack your bags?
And now comedian Dom Herrera on the Adam Carolla Show.
Dom Herrera, always great to see you.
Great to see you, too. That was my whole act, man.
Dom, well, hear him repeat that at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach Friday and Saturday night. I saw a whole thing. By the way, Danny Bonaducci is in Chicago this morning. I saw this whole thing on the guy who runs the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach and how he's just salt of the earth and he doesn't care about profit and he cares about the comedians and all that. Is that your experience? I'm sure it's not with most club owners. No,
I think he's a great guy.
Not a That's saint, such a though.
Funny, I feel like I'm on trial already. Well, what do you mean by that? Mr. Herrera would like to seek counsel on that. I think he, you know, I think he does really care about the acts, and I do think he's a great guy. But it's just a funny, you know, that it's look, it's one of the best clubs around. It's in Hermosa Beach. It's a great club. I mean, I think he's certainly not slippery.
Right.
You know, he's
people know this club because Leno performs there all
every
the time.
Sunday night. Yeah.
I know
he
it.
He needs the cash, you know. He doesn't work. He hasn't worked since Friday.
Yeah.
He's very hot today, by the way.
Thank you, Dom.
He's got to be strapped. Leno. Yeah, I mean, Leno's probably only making about $400K a week normally.
Yeah, he's on strike,
It's belt tightening time over the Leno house.
Well, he always says that he doesn't touch his Tonight Show money. He lives off his comedy money. Isn't that right?
How crazy is that?
Could you imagine?
Why would you worry about it? It's amazing.
You do that, Danny?
Yeah, I live off Leno's money. I live off just my comedy. I live a dollar per laugh, so I'm really not doing that well.
Well, there are 52 weeks in a year, right?
Right.
Leno is probably making from The Tonight Show 25, 30 or so a month, I should say a year. So 25, 30 million a year, 52 and whatever. So he's probably making 500 grand every couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every time I've done a show, he's doing a gig. He says, hey, I got to run. I got a gig in Phoenix. I go, okay, what are you doing? He's doing like corporate days. And that's where he really makes
He's making 500 grand a week, actually. I'm going to correct that. Two million a month. Two times, that's 24. He's probably making more than 500 grand a week. Now, imagine never touching that. Just banking and living off the corporate gigs.
What do these corporate gigs pay, Dom?
Well, see, for somebody like Leno, probably 150 grand. Who knows?
For the night, right?
Yeah,
for one. If he's doing a thing for Microsoft.
Yeah, I mean, some guys get $1,000, and some, you know, like Seinfeld could probably make $200,000, unless, you know, Arab Emirates, they could pay $1 million, you know.
Yeah, it is.
And they get all the jokes over there, too.
Oh, nobody has a better sense of humor than the Arabs, Danny, you know that.
Guys like Jon Stewart will go out of town, make $150, $200 just for a day's work, and people are always like, well, who deserves, well, whoever's going to pay much.
Yeah. Whatever the market will bear, that's what it's worth.
That's how it works. Dom?
I got a gig in Atlantic City.
Mm-hmm.
And it seems so unfair because I know what real life is like. And I taught school. 30 grand for 15 minutes.
Right.
30 grand for 15 minutes.
Like, what kind of gig was this?
It's a high roller
gay
dude.
Porn.
It's a gay porn. It's like I do this whole thing with muscle men lift me and I dance. And
the funny thing is when they fly you out and they go, 30 grand for half an hour, and then you get there and they go, I hope you're not bothered, but 15 minutes could cut down 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, what other gig would you be paid, you know, $1 million an hour to do, and then somebody tells you, we're going to pay you the same, but just cut it in half?
I just did that HBO thing in Vegas on Wednesday with Steve Schripper from The Sopranos, and they called up my agent, and they go, listen, does Dom mind cutting it from 15 minutes to 10 because we added a juggler to the show? And she goes, boy, do you not know Dom? Do I mind? I'll do like a wave through. I'll walk across the stage and wave to them for the money.
He'll run out, just do the setup, and leave before the punchline.
Hey,
if
just
you
think
pay
about it. Fill in your own punchline.
Well, let me ask you, Dom. You've been doing stand-up for how long?
I'm 26 years old. I've been doing it since 1980. I passed at the Improv in New York in 1980.
Mm-hmm. That's when you... professionally, or the first time you got up on stage was 1980?
Well, the first time I passed.
Right.
I had done a couple of things, like those open mic things.
Showcases and things like that. But 1980, so 27 years.
Yeah.
Do you enjoy it still?
I love it.
I
do love it. And you know what's so funny about that? Because people always try and bum you out. They go, boy, that's got to suck, you know? It's like, it really sucks, like traveling first class, meeting hot chicks, performing all over the world. Yeah, it's terrible. You know, it's like, what do you do? Like, I don't
right.
play. I like, my cousin Johnny said to me, I love this. Like, right now, I'm in the middle of a lot of stuff. I got a radio show, like a podcast, a TV show and DirecTV. I'll tell you about it. And an animated series, right? So he says, what do you got coming up? So I tell him that. He goes, don't you got anything, like, big coming up?
I know.
What do you got big coming up at the media post office in Pennsylvania?
Well, again... Here's the thing I've noticed in life. And by the way, Mike August called in and says Leno makes over $400K an appearance.
Oh, okay.
So I'm assuming
a corporate appearance. Yes.
So imagine what Letterman must make. He's even funnier than Leno.
Let me just say this very, very quickly.
But he's not as corporate friendly.
Yeah, I'm going to say very quickly, if my mother is listening or any of the Corollas, I know you're saying, why does somebody need or deserve $400K? Well, that's what they pay him.
Yeah,
that's what he gets. Yes, it's like the people that go, like, does anyone need a car that goes 200 miles an hour? Nope, no one needs it. But the beauty of this country is we want it.
Yeah.
And that's why we kick other countries' asses. So let me ask you this, Dom, or at least put this forward. I find that when you have a good job, people don't have any trouble beating you up. And when you have a crappy job, people are always overly accepting of it and try to make it good. It's
exactly.
Like if you're a slender guy, but you put on 10 pounds, people will bust your chops about it. Hey, fat, hey, putting on, hey, somebody ate too much turkey over Thanksgiving, all that kind of stuff. But if you're really fat, people leave you alone.
They like
and
it,
it's
yeah.
that way with jobs. People do that with our job, too.
They try and find one dent in the armor to go, well you know, it's got to suck. I mean, you still
right.
have to, you know, but this has to suck. Don't you get tired of doing it? No, I really enjoy it. You know, it's like.
Here's how you know you have a crappy job. People bend over backwards trying to find good things about it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like where you go, you meet a guy and you go, what do you do? And they go, I work at a rendering plant. Where we strip the fat off of animals and then we boil it into a paste that can be used as a lubricant. And the guy will go,
oh.
Well, good union though, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Good union? Good benefits?
Close
good
to your
union?
House, huh?
Yeah. Real salt of the earth guys you work with, huh? You can trust those guys. Not that these corporate backstabbers, these white collar guys, and they're private jets. Yeah, yeah.
I always love people that really failed at something, like, especially because show business, it's very hard to sustain anything. Thing and they go, yeah, you know, I'm not going to kiss butt to get up to where you are. You know,
right.
It's like, I don't know whose butt did I kiss.
I mean, it's fine for you if you want to kiss, but I just don't have that in me.
Yeah, it's not my thing to go around brown nosing and licking the man's ass. I'm sorry, I'm sort of the Billy Jack of comedy. I don't go there. But
right.
If, hey, Dom, if you're willing to make a deal with the devil kiss the man's ass, more power to you.
I had a cousin that said to me one time, I actually used it in my act, he says, I could be a comedian. He goes, I'm funny. I'm just not funny, you know, in front of people. I'm a really good carpenter. I'm just bad with wood.
Were you in The Big Lebowski?
I had a very small part in the Big Lebowski, which is amazing. It's like a cult thing now.
It's getting cultier every month or
what,
so
what
it
was
seems.
Your part in the movie?
I was Tony the limo driver. They send me the script, and I read the sides for the public. The sides are just the part you audition, like three or four pages. And I told my agent, I said, it's brilliant. It's hilarious. She goes, that's great. Go in and read for it. I go, I'm not reading for it. I wrote it. She goes, what do you mean? I go, they're all my lines. Right? Mm-hmm. So I said, call them and tell them, you know, she goes, no. Then they talked to the Coen brothers. I go, no, we wrote it for him.
Oh.
But I mean, it was weird because I see my lines in the script.
Lines from your stand-up,
Yeah.
Oh, so they were fans. They saw you and they basically wrote it for you.
That's flattering.
Yeah, it was cool. It was cool doing it because I had both of them. I was driving the limo, right?
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Mm-hmm.
From that scene.
Yeah. Right from the scene, everybody.
Oh, is that what that is? I thought it was Danny.
You're driving you're driving the limo.
They said, do you want a stunt driver or you want to drive? I said, no, I don't need a stunt driver, right?
Right.
And then they get in the Ethan Coen gets in the trunk with the sound, and Joel gets in the back, and Jeff Bridges is doing the scene.
The Coen brothers are hiding out in the limo.
They're in the limo. And I said, look, I don't mind driving one Coen brother. If I kill one, it's a story. If I kill both of them, I'm dead in Hollywood.
You're pariah. You know?
But anyway, so I said, hey, what's going to happen? You know, I'm driving 5 miles an hour. But they have these, like, screens they put on the side for lighting. And they took them off. And I'm driving. But they didn't tell me to put them back on.
Mm-hmm.
So then I, ba-boom, I knock everybody, like, 5 feet. You know, like,
Crashed into something?
Yeah, I crashed into the telephone pole.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, but I'm thinking, there's no way I get an accident. Boom, I knock everybody down.
With Ethan Coen in the trunk?
Yeah, could have killed him. It would have been.
Joel was strapped to the roof, and the dude almost got injured.
He was amazing in that. That Bridges was so good. He acted like that off the court.
Really?
He stayed in character, and I just believe that was him.
That GD, we're talking to Dom Herrera, by the way. That should be everyone's goal, to grow a huge mountain man beard and pack on 80 pounds for a role.
Oh, yeah. How fun is that?
Just be great. Just 1 year. You know, you spend a whole year shaving. You spend a whole year watching what you eat and running on a treadmill. Everyone should take 1 year and go, F it. I'm going Dan Haggerty on everyone's ass. I'm growing a mountain man beard, and I'm going to pack on 60 pounds.
It'd be a great. It looks like I'm doing that. This is the fattest I've ever been. I had to take. I don't know if I told you this last time. I had the shingles. Do you ever hear the shingles?
Yeah.
It's like this really hurts, right? And I had to take steroids, and my face got fat. So my doctor calls up, and I was on Craig Ferguson's show. He goes, man, what the hell happened to you?
You're like Jerry Lewis.
Yeah, well, I'm not that bad, but I mean, it's like, he goes,
I mean, not that funny, but I mean.
No, not that level.
No, but your head grew big like his.
Yeah, I got jowls and stuff.
Right.
And my doctor goes, look at you. He says, you look all bloated and. Yeah, like you're on steroids. I go, I am. You put me on them, you nitwit.
He didn't.
He forgot.
He didn't do that math.
No.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened to me.
You had it today?
You know, every day I was jabbing myself in the ass with an 18-gauge needle going, I forgot why I'm doing this.
I was looking and getting angry at, I went to the car show with one of my buddies, and he's one of these guys where no matter how fat he gets, his head never grows. He never puts an ounce on his face. He's sort of the male Kirstie Alley.
Right.
Head stays the same size. Ass just gets getting bigger. The guy is 225 pounds. He's not fat. He's just big. And he's loading up on dessert, and I'm looking at him with his little perfect face, and I'm thinking I want to kill him because he can get as fat as he wants. All you have to do is untuck your shirt or put on a pair of sweatpants. If your head doesn't balloon up, you're fine. If I put on 5 pounds, I'll put 3 of it on my forehead.
Yeah, there's nothing you can do for head fat. I mean,
and
there's no working out.
The only thing that compounds it is when you then turn the camera on.
And
when
my
you
God.
Turn that camera on, your head, when you were you and you're horrified too, because you haven't seen yourself on TV in a while, and then you go take some steroids and do Craig Ferguson's show, then you go home and you TiVo it and you watch it and you're like, holy Christ.
Don,
what
do
happened?
You watch yourself?
I hate watching myself.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, you know what I enjoy? This cartoon called Barnyard. That I think it's pretty funny to hear my voice. Because I made a choice in this cartoon to do my own voice. And it kind of sounds cool because everybody else, I don't know, man, maybe I should do this. You know, it's always like cartoon voice. And I'm going, hey, what's going on? You know, and it sounds kind of, and it's so easy because, but I listen to. That I like, but I don't like watching my stand-up because I always see mistakes.
And you didn't Oh, you don't? Oh, when you watch yourself perform, you're critical.
Yeah.
You always see something you screwed up.
I don't think I've ever laughed at myself and went, oh, man, that was a good one. Oh, I love that. You know, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
The HBO that's specials good. And stuff like that.
You still got you got the fire, though. You still got the eye of the tiger. See, you start laughing at yourself, then you get
that's
soft.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. Come here, guys, you got to hear this one. Look at me now.
Now.
Yeah, that's kind of sad.
Yeah.
Well, don't you still feel like, I mean, when you do, like, live shows, don't you still feel that energy?
I don't do too many live shows, but you mean adrenaline or
I've
do you
seen
mean
you
nerves?
Do live shows.
Or,
seen
we
you.
Do the radio show live sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't count.
Are we live now? You know, Jamie Masada at the Laugh Factory wanted to invite you to, we have a show coming out on DirecTV called mm-hmm. the Supreme Court of Comedy. And it's really fun. I'm a judge. Mm-hmm. We have, it's a regular small claims court and we have comedians representing the plaintiff and the defendant.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a real case. So it's pretty funny. I mean, it got a little Jerry Springer-ish at one time. Because
now, do you do it at the Laugh Factory?
Yeah, DirecTV has on Channel 101. They have their own. They're starting. I was telling Teresa up there. They have their own programming now.
Now he invited me to be on it, or just to be in the audience is going to waive the 2-drink minimum.
Yeah, right. To be on it because you're such, you know, you're like you love to talk. You're such a lawyer like guy, and it'd be so much fun for you.
That's me. All right, I'll do it.
Good.
Wait. I want to go up against him.
All right, Danny'll do it too.
You know what? That's a deal.
Wait. Usually I'm on trial for something, so maybe you should have me be the bad guy.
No. You'll have insight into it, and it's all like goofy cases. One guy was moved out from his girlfriend. He took her clothes, and then her girlfriend took her out, and they found him in a bar with her skirt on. Right? You know, that kind of stuff.
Danny will defend that guy.
I'll defend that guy and win.
Get your cell phone cameras ready because I'm just going to rant and drop N-bombs. That's all I'll be doing. Dom Herrera is going to be at the Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach.
You'll never see a better comic.
Thank you.
Friday and Saturday night. ComedyandMagicClub.com is where you go. Dom, always great to see
you. Great to see you, too, Adam. Teresa, Danny, take care.
See you, buddy.
Joel McHale, the dreamy Joel McHale, is in. He's freshly scrubbed, and he's brought his clips. I think we have a tease.
Plus, Extra uncovers Kiefer Sutherland's secret passion.
Oh, we're going to find out all about his secret passion. Driving drunk. We'll take a quick break. Back with Joel.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Tired of being crucified by the press.
I have a question.
From this E! News story.
TV talk.
Does the shoulder strap of your car cut into your shoulder? Introducing the Titty Bear.
From E's The Soup, Joel McHale.
What? Oh, my God!
Don't be mad. It was a casting decision.
On the Adam Carolla Show.
I love Joel McHale.
I love you.
And you know what? I want to thank your parents for naming you after what you are or what you look like. Joel looks like a Joel, and he acts like a Joel.
I was sure you were going to say the Navy.
Yes, hello. Hey, my name is Graham
Where's
Wellington.
Danny? Danny, are you sitting? Where are you, buddy?
I'm right here. I'm just short,
Is
dick.
He right up? Oh, sorry, bud.
He's crawling up your leg right now.
Danny, oh, jeez.
He's in Chicago. He's at a studio. Are you at a studio there in Chicago, by the way?
I'm apparently at every studio in Chicago. I'm in a place where there must be 15 radio stations.
Oh. In Chicago, and is going to be performing tonight. So,
Adam, I'm so glad Joel, you said yes. I look like a Joel, because a lot through my life, people have always said I look like a Kevin. And I'm not kidding.
You could definitely pass for a Kevin. You could pass for a Kevin. You look like a Kevin. You act like a Joel.
If you were Kevin McHale, you'd be an NBA player.
That's right.
Supposedly related.
Good
all
call.
McHales are somehow.
There you go.
Just not with gifted the athleticism that he has. Thank
Joel,
you.
Did you bring clips?
No.
All right.
Wait,
well,
yes.
Let's go to break.
Oh, sorry.
Well, let's just gaze totally. At him for a while then, Adam.
No, that would make me gaze. You understand? All right.
It would make you plural. That's how gay
right.
it would be.
All right, the first clip. Did you play the Heidi Klum from Ellen?
No, we played the Kiefer and his secret passion.
All right. Well, that's coming up.
Mm-hmm.
But Ellen had Heidi Klum on. And Heidi Klum had a conversation with Britney Spears, and Britney was able to explain a lot about child rearing.
This is Heidi Klum.
This is Heidi Klum relating a story.
She spoke to Britney.
Spoke to Britney, and she's on the Ellen Show talking about it.
You know, we were talking about babies and diapers, and she explained to me a lot of things about diapers that I didn't know.
Really?
You know these sticky things on the side? I never knew that they were there. them in the front. Huh? I was always, you know, putting string around. I had no idea.
Wow.
Hysterical.
She doing a bit.
I'm going to drop her ass into that volcano. Yeah. I'm tired of Heidi Klum.
Is there a way that the pterodactyl can not just drop, but like slam her into it?
Yes.
Like pin her against a very hot rock before.
He'll go into what I like to call the death spiral. That's where he pins his 32-foot wings, tucks them in tight, and just goes into a free fall.
Could you put little whistles at the end of his wings? So it sounds like, yeah, like a World War II
right,
bomb.
Right, right. Oh. It'll be like the Nazis blitzkrieging, yes, Poland.
She is German.
And you, yeah, would, she would hear, that would be the last sound she hears.
Yeah, and then I'm going right after Seal's ass. Because if these two sit around and talk about how much in love they are, and how he loves to write songs, and he proposes every year. Any look. Look, if you're in love with your wife, so be it. But shut up. Because my wife has to hear about you doing your vows every single year barefoot in Hawaii in the sand, and then she just looks at me and she goes, you pile of steaming ass. I married an animal. Look, and Heidi Klum, yes, is hot, yes, but that stupid model show of hers, or that fashion
Project
show of
Runway.
Hers, it is bad. She's bad. The judges are
all
bad.
All the women
the
who are listening
bad.
To this show just turned off.
I know, and it's a
every
bad
woman just turned
show,
off the radio.
And she is horrible on camera.
It's a good show. Well, if you notice, almost every shot of her is from behind, and they've clearly tracked the voiceover later.
Right.
Yes, because she sounds like the Gestapo.
I get scared, right, but I still watch.
Oh, you God. Would be, but
yeah,
I don't
Ava
know
Braun
if she was
has
doing
got her own show.
I was like, I thought she was doing a bit as well.
Project
but then, like,
Genocide.
Why would you bring up a bit? Like, why would you do a bit like that?
Yeah,
and because it didn't come off as a bit.
Hey, look, here's what happens. She's been hot, and I'm guessing piping hot since about age 12.
Yeah.
And all people do is smile and laugh, and it's like you turn the sound down. You know those movies where the person's having the nightmare and everyone's looking at them just laughing and smiling and laughing and smiling, but you don't hear any sound, you don't hear what comes out of your voice? That's what happens. Since the age of 12, everyone just shut their ears, smiled and laughed. Now, we grow up, yes, in a place where people said, shut up, fatty, you're not funny, now get back to work.
Yeah.
And when that happens to you, you make sure your stories are real funny, have points and punchlines. But when you're super hot and everyone just smiles and laughs, then you'll go on national TV and tell a crappy, boring story about nothing, and we'll just smile
and go,
just laugh.
I just like that Corolla, yes, admits that there are piping hot 12-year-olds.
Yes.
Are there any other kind?
I'm coming up the stairs, I pointed out to Amy that she is only twice the age of my daughter, but, you know, she'd made two hot 12-year-olds, and she called me a pervert.
Mm-hmm.
There are some girls, will you not agree, that mature faster than others, Adam?
Well, you don't have to have sex with a 12-year-old,
no,
Heidi Klum, but,
no,
you can. I'm sure when Heidi Klum walked into her 6th or 7th grade class, everyone went, there's someone who's going to be looking pretty good and, yeah, been doing some modeling in a few years.
Well, I was in Top 40, so I had Top 40 radio, so I had to pretend for at least 2 years that I didn't want to have sex with Britney Spears.
Right, because she was underage.
Because she was 16. So I couldn't go, God, I would do her right now in that schoolgirl.
But now,
I had the second she turned, on her birthday, I had a Britney clock counting down.
Hold on, write that down. Yeah, but now you don't want to have sex with her, right? Even though it would be legal and above the board?
Oh, it would be hysterical now. Are you kidding? And they're rolling all around.
YouTube vindication.
Calling me Vinny or something. This is the best ever, Vinny. I like it. That'd be fun for me.
Hey, what? Joel McHale.
Hey, will there ever be a supermodel, do you think, that around the age of 14 goes, wait a minute, I'm going to be different. I'm going to run for Congress, and I'm going to be the president. I'm going to be the... I forget my looks.
I got two words for you, Tyra Banks. She hung up. She hung up her angel wings, Joel.
She hoisted them into this. They're hanging from the rafters.
She did a two-hour special on her retiring her angel wings, but the point is she's going to do good now.
Yeah.
She's not...
She's
not walking down the catwalk anymore, shaking,
right,
her moneymaker.
Well,
she's donning the fat suit and
now
doing hard-hitting undercover investigatory news pieces.
Social experiments,
that's,
I would say,
right.
By the way, Joel, you don't think Ruth Bader Ginsburg walked away from a career in modeling? She was hot-looking swimsuits, mostly.
Yes.
Lingerie.
I bet there was a point you'd have boned Condoleezza Rice.
Oh, yeah. No, I think that point called this weekend.
And the voice would freak it.
All right, Mikhail, what else you got?
So, speaking of Ellen, Here's a little something from E.T., A Discovery.
Iggy, out of hiding. The little dog Ellen gave up and America fell in love with has finally been found. Then on Tuesday.
Hello, everybody. I'm Mary Hart, and this is Iggy.
Straight from E.T. Stage 28, the message that's bringing Iggy back to the airwaves. The story that captivated the country has a brand new chapter. Iggy Out of Hiding.
Are you ready for that? It is not to be missed.
She did a hard-hitting interview with Iggy.
Yeah, it was exclusive.
Killing myself.
That's right.
That's it was a lot like John Stossel.
Iggy's publicists were like, sorry, Access Hollywood, no can do.
Insider is just, the phone is ringing off the hook.
Pat O'Brien is like, put Iggy on speaker.
I'd love to talk to Iggy. let me put down these. Blow.
I'd like to see Iggy toss into a tree chipper.
Just a red mist
coming out the other
you
side.
You don't want to miss the exclusive interview. And after that, we'll be tossing him into a tree trimmer.
I hate lap dogs. The only thing I hate more than lap dogs are the people that love lap dogs. Yeah, there you go. So to me, if everyone disappeared, the lap dog and the person whose lap it was on, I would be happy.
That
Iggy. An interview with Iggy. And I, very sad to say, I watched said interview
you
with
did
Iggy.
Not.
Yes.
What do you have
Why?
To say?
Well, how did it go?
He sounded like Scooby-Doo.
He
sounded like Astra.
Yeah.
Sounded like Astra.
Did the subtitles all come out already?
Mary Hart, who I've decided is the best-looking person I never want to have sex with.
Yes. She's a vampire.
Usually, I just base my do I want to have sex on you solely on how you look. She's been looking mighty good for the past 30 years, yet never have had any sexual interest in her. She's absolutely sexless. She somehow...
What if she came on to you?
I would say we need to take the shop vac that was removed your sexuality in 1981. We'll put it back, and then you can talk to the
penis.
She
even said, Adam, it's time for an exclusive.
Get Iggy, and we'll do a three-way. Then maybe we can talk. All right, what else do we got?
This was on Extra. They also had an incredible discovery.
Plus, Extra uncovers Kiefer Sutherland's secret passion, painting.
Who knew?
Who knew? Every third celebrity paints. That's who knew. Every single celebrity likes to paint. They have lots of free time. They're artistic, and they have a lot of people around them that lie to them and tell them their work is good. So thus, they love to paint.
What are you going
to
do when he comes out with a children's book?
Actually, you know what? The last three times I have seen Kiefer, he has been with this same blonde girl. I think her name is Chase.
Mm-hmm.
And she is a walking piece of art. Aside from beautiful, she's a very beautiful girl. But I've seen her in tops that are kind of see-through from the back. And I don't know if it's... Maybe he painted her. I don't know. But she has the most beautiful, totally tattooed back that I actually called canvas once.
You mean she has like a whole scene that's drawn on her back?
Yeah, her back is... I swear to God, she is a walking piece of art on her back.
She has the Hindenburg painted on her back. It's dramatic.
Yes, I've often yelled, I've looked at her ass and said, oh, the humanity. The last three times I've seen her, and I don't know, maybe they're, I wonder if they're really tattoos now, or if he draws on her, because I actually referenced her as a human canvas.
I'm guessing they're tattoos, but I don't know. I've never seen the man's work, and let's pray he doesn't come out with a book. He doesn't have kids.
No.
The only
that doesn't
time,
stop people.
Usually you start coming out with the kids' books after you crap out your first few kids.
Harlan Williams has a kids' book.
Oh, really? Now I officially hate
Adam, you and I need to make a kids' book.
We better change the
Let's
subject.
Let's make it the worst kids' book ever.
I called Adam from my kids' school and told him he should do that.
It's called Learning to Swear.
They were reading all these, if you really apply yourself books, life will go your way. And I actually left right after I read, and my kid was satisfied that I had done my job and read my book. I went outside and called the phone number that Adam has never once in a year answered. And I left a message saying,
funny,
you need to write.
Michael.
Oh. Then you must have a different number.
Right,
this
up.
Number.
Call ID.
I swear to God, there's no
the
way
only
that
time
this phone is in the house.
I ever got his voicemail. He was already calling me back.
That was same
I know.
Here.
I was like, oh, there it is. He's
right.
Calling
when
me.
When T calls my cell, Hava Nagila chimes in, and I know it's,
that's
it's her.
Ringtone.
I know it's her, my accountant.
I've never had him answer, and I've never had him call back. Not once, not ever. But I digress. He should write a child's book, except how life really works out.
Well,
I was all these positive stories about how life goes great if you try and you do your best.
Hold on, you guys. Teresa's calling.
Teresa or my accountant's on the phone. Herb or Teresa?
Could be your lawyer.
Moisha or Teresa?
What?
Rabbi Shmuley or Teresa Strasser? Hello? Hello?
It's Rabbi and Teresa. We're on a conference call. We need to talk to you.
We usually like to call in tandem. What's Joel's ringtone?
I'm going to write the title of the worst book that we can write for a kid. I think I have the title right here. We'll all work right out the illustrations.
Can you say
it's
the
called,
title?
It's called The Day Iggy Keistered an M80. And it'll be pop-up. All right, we need to take a break.
Do there's never been a book with M80 in the title.
Do we have...
All right, just...
Do we have a tease before we go to break?
No, we don't. I think... we don't. There's no tease.
All right.
Other than we've got... Gabba. I'll just tell you, it involves... I Love New York is going to be on, and that's all you need to know.
All right, let's pound out some of the beats on the day Iggy Keistered and M80.
All right, this is going to be great.
If you're wondering what that sound is...
What is that?
That's the goddamn phone number I have for you.
Oh, really? Danny's calling. Look, it's a very slippery slope. You start picking up the phone.
Hi, we're not here. We're not here. We'll never tell you back. You suck, sidekick loser.
You're waking up, Lynette.
Well, yeah. Oh, my God.
That phone's not in the house.
Hey, Danny, during this break, I just want to recommend you go have a smoke.
Done.
We'll take a break. Joel McHale. that's Paul Bryan's new favorite drop. Joel McHale in studio, back with
that's
more clips, Nick.
This is Seth MacFarlane, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show. Give Adam a call now at 1-866-901-ADAM.
Seth MacFarlane, by the way, coming up on this morning's show. Joel McHale in with his clips from The Soup on Friday nights, 10 o'clock. Joel?
Yes, yo, sir. Gabba Gabba.
Let's keep on keeping on with the clips.
Ann Curry, Today's Show.
Dig her.
Roots.
It was diminished if you had black ancestors. People didn't want to talk about that.
Absolutely.
In fact, I've wondered if I'm black. Actually, I have.
Really?
No, I'm seriously. No, people have asked me. No, I'm not kidding.
Really?
I'm wondering if because there's a reason
I'm
wondering.
Make you do one of those DNA things.
I would like to know. I would like to know.
All right, anyway.
Well, they do those DNA things, and they find out almost everyone is black.
Dog the Bounty Hunter thought he was black.
Yeah. Yeah, he talked like a... Okay.
You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to do that DNA thing where they trace your ancestry, and I saw it on 60 Minutes or something about a month ago. There was some white farmer from, like, Kentucky, and they can trace your roots back to some tribe in Africa. Either way, you get it. You get the paperwork. Keep it in your wallet. Better yet, make a laminate out of it, and then you can drop N-bombs all day long. And when someone starts doing it, you just pull that chain, that laminate out.
If you don't get it out quickly enough, though, you've got trouble.
And then eventually, so many people will have the state will issue cards saying you can use the word.
And I just thought I'd like to add my two cents here, Adam. After you use the N-bomb in front of one of our African-American brothers, and then you reach for something in your wallet real fast, I think that's a good move.
That's why, no, I'm going to do the laminate, the chain. Like when you're in a concert and you're getting backstage. This gets me backstage to the
N-word event.
As the guy's
swinging at you.
Yes, I hold it up. That's right.
Just like metal.
Now, because we'll probably all, or many of us will also have Native American roots if they do that test, does that give you, can you talk about being an Indian giver and all that?
Open a casino called N-words.
There you go.
On a reservation.
Come on down. You know what I mean? We put the black and blackjack. That'll be right under the right
and
N-words.
Chief would do the commercials.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Come on down. I don't want to say what's in the buffet. Could get offensive. But bring
very
the kids
likely
down.
Let's just move on to
bottomless
the real world.
Bottomless tumbler of grape soda. Come on down. N-words, the casino.
K Can you get that country singer to do the commercials?
Get Kenny Rogers to do it for us.
That'd be great.
You know, I'm a
Inward Valley Ranch.
You know me as a gambler. Many years ago, my father, who owned a lot of tobacco farm, owned a tobacco farm in Kentucky, well, he did some gambling with one of the slaves, and turns out I got some black in me. So now I open a casino, call the N-word. My daddy went down to have sex with a slave, and he never pulled out. Well, 9 months later, my great-great-grandpappy was born, and now that makes me 132nd, bro. Come on down to N-words. We got ATMs. Play some pie-cow poker. Yeah, we got an ATM.
They're doing the exact same song on the Seacrest show right now. That's what's crazy.
Come on down and play the sports book. We got the loosest hose. I mean, slots.
God, it was nice working with you, Imus.
All right, where was I?
Let's go to the real world and someone who used to do a lot of acid.
I used to do a lot of acid. Because of that, sometimes I see birds.
Dude.
I'll see a random parrot or macaw fly through the room. But I'll never say anything about it because I realize that that's a flashback. But sometimes I see blackbirds. And when I see a blackbird, it means that someone's dead.
Wow.
Yeah.
See, you didn't think you could learn anything from watching The Real World. You thought it was just all about the cute chicks running around in the jacuzzis with their tops off. I didn't know we were going to get this kind of philosophy.
They have hired a sociopath to be on the show.
What happens if you take that guy to the zoo and you put him in with all the birds? Does he just flip right out and start gouging out his own eyes?
I think if you tell him you're going to the zoo, there's trouble. But if you do what I do with him and you say, we're going to the amphitheater to go watch a live musical, Sound of Music. We're going to go see Sound of Music at the amphitheater, and then we take him to the birdcage at the zoo. That's when he flips out.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Sound like your style, Corolla.
Second best idea. Would you please stand up? I cannot see you.
He's in Chi-Town.
Oh, okay.
All right, Joel, what else?
All right. There is a Peabody winning show on the E right now. It is called The Kardashians.
Yeah.
Kim Kardashian, who's famous for her big ass and sex tape. And this is a little conversation between her and her sister, and her sister is not pregnant.
Hey, Chloe.
How'd the doctor go?
I'm not preggers.
You're not?
No, you were wrong.
So what does that mean?
I wouldn't go to Vegas any other way.
I heard that.
Oh my God, Courtney's not pregnant. We all gotta go to Vegas and partay. Woohoo!
She got a great ass!
Bruce Jenner married into this mess.
Seven more episodes.
Greatest thing that could have ever happened to him is if that plane crashed on the way back from Montreal in 72 or wherever the hell he won the world's greatest. He was the world's greatest athlete. Not this country's greatest athlete. No. The world's greatest athlete.
The greatest.
The greatest.
World records.
Went from the Wheaty box to the S house in just a blink of an eye.
Jan Michael Vincent was the world's greatest athlete.
Well, that's a Disney movie. This is real life. Oh. Sad but true. All right, do you have one more for us,
Joel
McHale?
Yes, this is from I Love New York, too. And this is one of the dudes saying he's a little bit worried about being eliminated this week.
It was tough, but it wasn't that hard for me.
Man, if I get eliminated tonight, I'll be appalled. Is that a bad word? Like, it don't mean something good, do it?
He's going to be one of the greeters at the casino.
Okay.
You need guys that were thrown off island?
At the N-word. N-word, the casino?
The casino. He hooked up. One of his, yes. I'll get Kenny down there. Sure, why not?
And just like any casino, no matter where or when, it's just going to be full of Koreans.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
That's right. Armed, though. Yes. Teeth. All right, we'll take ourselves a break. Joel McHale.
Thank you for having me.
Nice
Thank you for promoting the show that my show that doesn't get promoted by the network it's
so
on.
So beautiful, yet so bitter.
Yo, Gabba Gabba.
Joel McHale, host of Ease the Soup, Friday nights, yes. 10 o'clock. All right. What we're going to do is we're going to take ourselves a break. We're going to come back with the news. Plus, we'll have an exclusive update on the American Music Awards, which is going down this Sunday. I have an interesting story. Jimmy shot me an email yesterday involving that. Jimmy's hosting that show. We have Larry Klein, the producer of the award show, on. Jimmy can't come on because of the strike, and then there's a whole bunch of, there's a weird technicality because the script was written before the strike, but there's nobody to punch up the script. So much of that stuff is done in real time. So much of that stuff is done at the last minute. People drop out, people join. So he won't be able to do that. We'll talk to the producer, and T'll do the news next.
And we're back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Danny is in Chicago. Teresa is right next to me. We have the news. I think before we get to the news, we're going to talk to the producer, Larry Klein. He's the producer of the American Music Awards. He is going to explain what's going on with the strike and how it works and hopefully what a prima donna Kimmel is. Hey, Larry. Larry Klein?
Yeah, I'm here.
Now, Jimmy sent me an email yesterday, and it was a picture of me in the audience where they do that thing where they have celebrities and they put your picture in the audience. Where did that come from?
It came from Jimmy. Jimmy thought it'd be fun to have your picture everywhere throughout the room. And that's every picture. I mean, it says Christina Applegate, and it's a picture of you.
Ah, good times, because I thought, I don't remember being invited to this shindig.
You didn't get your invite?
No, I did not.
Oh, I apologize. Yeah. I know I said I saw your name on the list.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, certainly not up in the fronts with the heavy hitters like Christina Applegate. Hey, so Larry Klein, you're producing the American Music Awards, right?
Yep, I am.
That's this Sunday, by the way, 8 o'clock on ABC. Jimmy's hosting. It's at the Nokia Theater. That's the one right at Highland in Hollywood, and it's the one where I believe they do the American Idol finale. Did they do it there, or is that the Kodak?
Not the Kodak?
No.
Nokia's
no,
new, right?
The Kodak Theater.
Oh, this is downtown. Yeah. I screwed up.
This is the new one right across from the Staples Center.
Oh, bitchin'.
It's supposed to be amazing.
Yeah. I haven't been there yet.
It's awesome.
It just opened up last month. We're the first TV show to come out of this joint.
So we got Mary J. Blige. We got Lenny Kravitz. We got Rascal Flatts, Sugarland, Alicia Keys, Avril Lavigne, Celine Dion.
It's just, I mean, today alone, we're rehearsing Chris Brown, Lenny Kravitz, Jonas Brothers, Maroon 5, Rihanna, Daughtry. That's just today alone. I mean,
Fergie's going to be there. Is Fergie going to perform?
Yep.
Is she going to do My Lady Humps or Lumps or Bumps or Sis or whatever it is?
She's going to do a medley of great songs.
I love Chris Brown. Any word on what he's doing?
Oh, Chris is going to be doing such a cool thing. Chris is going to be doing some stuff with T-Pain. It's going to be a very cool thing. It's a kiss, kiss, but an outrageous performance, though.
And, Larry, how does this work now with the writer strike as far as Kimmel goes?
Well, you know Kimmel better than anybody, so you know how good he is at ad-libbing, coming up out of the box, seeing what's going on, and coming out and commenting about it after.
Well, he's not only that, but he's a really good writer. And I don't know what the law is about writing for yourself, because technically every time you think of something funny, memorize it, and then say it 10 minutes later, in a way, you're writing, are you not?
Yeah, but Noel, but I give you an example. You know, Jimmy's done the show, 4 or 5 years now? We always have teleprompters. The stuff is always in the prompters.
Right.
This year, there's no prompters even for Jimmy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Now, didn't you have a script ahead of time before the strike?
Well, you know, when we heard news about the strike, the impending strike, of course, we all hit the trenches, and we started to come up with a skeleton script. I knew what the awards were going to be, so we wrote stuff, you know, and getting ready for the strike. So I sort of had a basic understanding what we were going to do. The strike hit, we all stopped, and now it's up, I swear to you, now it's up to Jimmy just to
this
comment
is gonna be
on
a disaster.
What's going on for 3 hours.
Unmitigated disaster. Watch the abortion, everyone. ABC, 8 o'clock this Sunday.
I don't care why people watch. I just want them to
right.
watch.
No, look, watch Kimmel.
Fun.
Kimmel's going to drown in his own flop sweat out there. It's going to be awesome. And you know what? you should still have the teleprompters. They should just say F you and then dash the writers. But doing one of these shows without a teleprompter is unheard of.
Oh, yeah, I've never done this before. I mean, yeah, I got to tell you, I mean, I'm going to have a teleprompter for when the presenters are up there just to give them the names of who's in the nomination packages.
Right. Well, but, how does it work? I mean, legally, or do we know how it works legally? You're allowed to write, here are the people that are up for American Music Award, but you can't put a joke at the end of it.
And you know what? And I'm not a joke writer either. I'm not like you guys. So, yes, I can put words on a page just to tell people what we're going to, what we're coming out of. But I'm not sitting back writing jokes. I'm not doing that.
Well, this should be fun. This is, again, this Sunday, 8 o'clock.
I'm glad you think it should be
ABC.
Fun.
Well,
and I think Kimmel can pull it off. And I'm kind of mad at Kimmel. And I still think that if anybody can pull it off, he can pull it off.
You know what? It was funny. I just realized I gave Kimmel your invite. So if you didn't get it, he's got it in his back pocket.
Sold it on eBay.
I was just going to say, look on eBay.
All right, Larry Klein, we'll be watching this Sunday.
Thanks, Adam.
Interesting, and thanks for the clarity.
Yeah. Thank you very much. Hope everybody watches.
We shall, especially, like I said, just to see what happens. Because doing one of these shows, you know, going out and hosting it, doing a monologue and all that, minus the teleprompter.
I can't imagine it.
It almost never is done. All right, I don't know that it's been done since the teleprompter's been invented. T?
Yep.
Should we blow through some news before we go to break?
Sure. We just have a few minutes, but on the topic of the strike, the Writers Guild.
Teresa Strasser. Tomorrow's news. Today.
The Writers Guild has just announced that Democratic presidential candidate John Edwards will join striking writers on the picket line today.
Yeah.
He's going to be out at NBC.
He's a laugh riot, that guy. He should be out there.
I don't know what he's going to do without writers.
It's crazy.
Yeah, he's going to be out there, which one-ups all previous political activity on the line. Barack Obama's L.A. staff and volunteers have joined strikers, but not Barack Obama himself.
Mm-hmm.
Also, right on the strike front, there are reports now that late-night talk shows might resume production fairly soon if the writer's strike continues. Producers of The Tonight Show, Letterman, and Conan are rumored to be discussing a plan to have all the shows return on the same night.
Mm-hmm.
This is likely to happen after Thanksgiving. Possible target dates, December 3rd or December 10th.
Yeah, safety in numbers. There's only so much blame to go around, and you have to split it five or six ways. No one's going to get the lion's share of the crap.
If they do go back, they will be like Jimmy. They will be they will have to write their own stuff and mostly do interviews.
Well, Steve O'Donnell, who was a head writer for Letterman for all these years and now head writer for Kimmel, when I was talking to him last weekend, explained to me that a lot of the bits that you know and love that Letterman does now were born from the strike in 88 when he had to do the man on the street stuff. Obviously, you can't stand there and do a monologue that doesn't right. exist. So what do? You sit at your desk, you tell a camera crew to go down to the local pizza parlor, and you do a little man on the street thing, and that's where a lot of that came from.
Well, I'm really interested to talk to Seth MacFarlane from The Family Guy, who's coming in later, because, you know, he's very angry at Fox. They have a few episodes of The Family Guy, but he didn't get a final pass or a final tweak, and it's reported that he doesn't feel they're ready to air, and Fox is going to air them anyway, although he is striking with the writers.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say Seth Farland is anal retentive, but as the voice of death and what I like to think is the voice of reason,
yes,
I have to go in there and do a pickup line every once in a while. Now, Seth, ever since he made a nickel, has been hitting the bottle pretty hard. He's an out-of-control prima donna.
They were doing marijuana and heroin.
And he likes to show up at the office, which is across the street from us, about 1 in the p.m. I want to go over there and literally have to say the word "the." He needs to be there to hear me say the word "the." And I say to his horrified staff, "I'm a pro. I will give you 5 the's, and you'll use one of them." I'll go, "The." The. And then you use the one that works. And they say, "Please, Seth needs to oversee this. He's a perfectionist." So to take a guy like that and tell him that you can't tweak, dial in, and tune your baby before it airs has got to make him nuts.
Well, I'm very interested to talk to him. E! Online is reporting, and I can never remember whether I'm allowed to say this word or not, the nickname for Richard. Is that something?
Dick?
Dick. We can say that?
Yes.
He's been quoted as saying this is a real dick move. on their part.
Do you,
so I think
you want me to just stick it in there?
I think he's fired up. Feels like they're sticking it in there.
Yeah.
To him.
Good times.
So I'm looking forward to that, and that's it.
Well, give me one more.
All right.
Give me one more. Let's see. I'm looking down my card here. Fabio. I don't know what that one is. Him with him and Clooney. Father, son, DUI. Gyno suggests using eggplant on vajayjay. What's that?
Gay.
I was hoping you'd choose that. Here's a story out of Spain.
Mm-hmm.
A gynecologist outside of Barcelona suggested to a patient who couldn't relax sexually that she go to the store and buy an eggplant, take it home, and have her way with it.
Don't you work your way up to an eggplant?
Well, that would have been more responsible.
Start with a couple strips of jicama and then work your way up.
Do you want me to just stick it in there?
Green bean?
Yeah.
If you're having a lot of tension in your vajayjay,
you start with an eggplant.
Well, hence she sued.
It's giving birth.
Right.
It's a baby head.
She sued the gynecologist. She told the court that having a doctor tell her to make love to an eggplant was degrading and humiliating.
What?
Yeah.
Really? It just sounds like sound medical advice.
And it's not the best way to make baba ganoush.
I had my doctor tell me to shove some broca flour up my arse once,
Was that humiliating? And
different? No. I went home, I did doctor's orders. That's what I said.
He said to. Well, she said she was so upset she missed 2 weeks of work, and she's still having problems having sex with her partner. Now, the gynecologist argued that he didn't literally mean an eggplant. He meant a romantic novelty item. And the gynecologists sometimes call them eggplants.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
And what about the horn of plenty? Is that another one? Because I may owe my wife an apology.
Hey, man, I'd like to apologize about that cornucopia.
Well, the court didn't buy the eggplant thing, that he just meant that as a joke.
How about the menagerie? Do you think we meant a real farm? No.
He was fined.
That's stupid.
He was fined $220, and he has to pay his patient over $4,000 in compensation for her troubles.
Danny, the Winnebago, that's an actual device, or did I screw that one up again?
No, I screwed that
one
up.
Jesus Christ, I owe somebody some apologies.
Well, you have to be specific.
Well, not really, because if you find someone that you can park a Winnebago, she really owes you an apology.
Well, it was a tight squeeze, let's put it that way. I had to get it going up around 65 before I made it through the tunnel.
That's the news.
All right.
Tomorrow's news. Today. Teresa Strasser. You, CNN.
T, you had that, I bit into some bad schlong look on your face.
Just, it hurt thinking about it.
All right. Lube it up, speed it up, and here we go. Got a kitchenette. Come on. We'll take a quick break. Seth MacFarlane, the man we were just talking about, is he here?
I can't wait. He's here.
Oh, God. Seth MacFarlane in studio next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser. Family Guy creator Seth MacFarlane at a recent writer's strike rally.
Writers are your partners in the creation of entertainment, and you can't be giving them the finger. And it is once again important that we acknowledge our loyal friends from the Screen Actors Guild who have gotten behind us in this cause. We are beyond grateful for your support, and I will personally sleep with each and every one of you when this is over. But no butt stuff. Okay, butt stuff.
Seth MacFarlane is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Seth, great to see you.
Hey, it's great to be seen.
You're courageous for coming on to the show. I know.
I got so much anal after that speech, I'll tell you. I was going to say, that's why you're courageous to come on this show.
I would love you, Seth MacFarlane, to speak your mind, tell us your piece, speak from the heart, stick it to the man and the Fox executives as Stewie, of course. But
hearing something through these headphones?
Tell us what you're thinking. Yes.
Oh, there we go. That's
there we go.
Better.
Tell us what's going on.
Well, you know, this is some of the press has sort of made this, and it's partially my fault, into kind of a Seth versus Fox sort of thing, which hasn't really been that productive, and you know, it's kind of deflected things away from the actual issue, which is, you know, that these companies are making enormous amounts of money off of DVD and certainly now and in the future off of digital downloads. And I think right now the writers are paid, the deal is it's something like one third of a penny per digital download.
Really?
Which is, you know, it's not even a whole coin. You can't even put that in a bubblegum machine.
Well, but you get 3 digital downloads and you got a penny, my friend. And now we're talking. Eventually you'll have a nickel.
You get about 300 more of those. You can buy yourself a piece of bazooka bubblegum.
And they say this is the future.
Yeah, I mean, it is. I mean, it's kind of common sense to say that, look, television and the internet, I mean, everything's going to merge, and at some point, people are going to be buying their programming off the internet. I mean, that's just where everything is headed. And you know, it's really the difference between, you know, what they're asking for is something like 2.5 cents on the dollar.
Well, also, for your show and the stuff you create, I mean, I don't imagine many people are downloading onto their iPods The Price is Right or some daytime whatever show, but your audience, the audience that enjoys your show, grew up on computers, they grew up with iPods, they're younger, they're college and what have you. So certainly a lot of the stuff that's created on your show and on Fox, which probably skews a little younger than CBS, for instance, this is the wave of the future if it's not already here.
Yeah, I mean, it's probably going to be within the next 5 years, and that's why all this is sort of going on right now. And I think people are, the general public is sort of starting to wise up as far as, you know, because you have the studio heads who are saying to Wall Street, everything's great, we're making tons and tons of money, and then they're saying to the writers, we're making no money.
Right.
I think probably the Wall Street statement is the correct one.
And Seth, you, and I know how particular you are about your art. You are rip ass mad at the studio Fox because they released a few episodes of The Family Guy without you
they
going
have
over
three,
it
right?
with your fine tooth comb.
Well, what it is you know there you know a lot of showrunners, the vast majority of showrunners have chosen to stand behind the writers and
right.
you know say we're just not going to produce until this is you know a fair deal is made or at least until you know negotiations start up again in earnest and. Mm-hmm. You know, unfortunately for us, you know, we have so many, the people who kind of get lost in this, we have so many talented, you know, and you've met a lot of these guys, artists.
Sure, they're playing ping pong every time I come over there and eating.
And these guys are busting their asses, and they're still busting their asses, and they're, you know.
But it must be funny. They must be like, well, what are you doing now that you're not working for the Family Guy? Well, I just hang out eating and playing ping pong. Oh, no, wait, that's when I was actually working on the Family Guy. Actually, I'm home writing.
It's pretty crazy.
Are you trying to stop Fox from airing the episodes that you haven't had a chance to review?
I would rather they didn't. That's the most upsetting thing is that, you know, I mean the next few shows that air were fairly close to completion, but you know this will be sort of the first time since the beginning of the show that I have not gone through and done that final pass.
The suits are great at squeezing the last drop of comedy out of any show that hasn't aired. They'll be fine at it.
It's you know who knows. I probably will. It'll probably be the first time in about 9 years that I maybe tune out.
What is the process? I mean, what is left when something is almost done but still needs to pass through the prism of Seth MacFarlane?
You know, it depends on the episode. Sometimes a lot of people may not notice it, and there may be things that stick out. It just depends on how sensitive the viewer is to the specific tone of the show.
So you may be watching, and you may say, you know what? I didn't like the inflection on Corolla's "the." That sounded
exactly.
like a bad pickup.
If only we had gone back
if
in
only
and fixed
Seth
that.
Was there and made him do it 150 times.
But you don't want the quality to drop. I mean, your fans expect a certain excellence.
Well, everyone is sort of going through this right now, at least as far as the showrunners are concerned, is that... You know, I think this is happening on a lot of shows and a lot of showrunners are kind of being slapped with this threat. And, you know, it's sort of killing everybody because everyone cares very much about how their shows look and they want it to be great. But at the same time, you know, they got to kind of stand their ground the assistant, I got to mention this because my wonderful assistant, Andrew Goldberg, who was one of the first, people to get laid off after all this, which is unfortunate. has organized an assistance picket at the main gate, Pico and Motor at the Fox lot.
They're going to help the real picketers.
Yes.
God, I wish.
Monday from 12 to 2. And, you know, these are all for assistance and below the line employees, you know, to stand with the writers. And it's a very cool thing that he's done.
Well, people don't realize is these writers make a pretty good living and they should continue. But it's the below the line people, the guy, I mean, actually, Seth explained that he paid his assistant in insults and snot rockets, yelling "pick it up" over and over again.
Oh, so he's just so grateful.
These guys don't have a lot of money banked. And, you know, they're living month to month.
The thing is, neither do a lot of the writers. And that's why, you know,
because of a porn addiction. But at least theoretically, they had money to put away. Hey, Seth, we got to take a break. We're out of time. Do you want to give another plug out? You cool?
Boy, what am I plugging right now?
Well, I don't know if you want people to meet somewhere and burn down an executive's house.
You know, all I can say is just keep doing what you're doing. Keep up the picking and keep standing your ground because it's really it's very, very important and it is moving towards something positive.
You're doing the Lord's work.
Oh, gay!
I should say work.
You really are,
Seth. We're going to take a break now just because this has been boring. Send us out as Peter. Send us to commercials, Peter.
This is Peter Griffin sending you off to commercial. And, listen to Adam. He says, you know, about 80% of the things that he says are right on the money. And the other 20%, you can, I don't know what the hell he's talking about.
Let's see. Leo, Ozzy, are you guys there? Or do I have to punch you up?
Yeah, good morning, America.
Oh. Yeah.
Hey, Adam.
There he is. Hey, Leo, the film freak. And, of course, Oswaldo, you guys are down doing the food drive, the KLSX food drive at the Smart and Final. That's 11221 West Pico in L.A. Tell us quickly about the cause, Leo.
Well, you know what? We have a lot of people hungry this Thanksgiving. So last year we did 29,000 pounds of food, Adam. But since Ozzy's here cooking his asada, we're going to raise 50,000 pounds of food. We're going to be here all weekend long. Friday, thanks, Brian. Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
So is Ozzy doing his carne asada out there?
Yeah.
Carne asada, chimichurri,
okay.
And salsas.
Listen to me. Listen to me, you cheap bastards. A lot of hungry people out there. It's a great time of year. It's called Thanksgiving, not Thanksgiving or Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. So let's give something back. And instead of, you know, dropping a nickel in the bucket, let's give some food. Go to the Smart and Final, 11221 West Pico in Los Angeles. See, bask in the majesty of Leo the Film Freak. But more importantly, the carne asada, the best in the world that Ozzy makes, go sample it for yourself and call me a liar. Hey, guys, thanks a lot. I should also mention quickly, well, I'll give some thanks and then I'll get back to that. I want to thank Frank Caliendo, Frank TV, Tuesday nights. 11 o'clock, TBS, Joel McHale, The Soup. Tonight, 10 o'clock on E!, Dom Herrera, Comedy Magic Club in Hermosa Beach. Tonight and tomorrow, Larry Klein, American Music Awards. He's the producer. Watch Jimmy kick some butt without a teleprompter.
Yeah.
Sunday, 8 p.m. on ABC, Seth MacFarlane, The Family Guy. Sunday, 9 on Fox, Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler, Bald Brian. What? L.A. Kings game tomorrow at 1 o'clock at the Staples Center. Go
Danny Bonaducci, life coach, CBS.com.
And you can watch your reflection in Bald Brian's head, perhaps comb your hair. Mike Dawson, whose band is going to be playing today at 3 o'clock at the KLSX Food Drive. Mike Dawson's band, King Whizzington and the Urinal Cakes. They're going to be playing live, everybody. And thanks, Dooch Man, over there in Chi-Town. Thanks, until buddy. Next time, it's Adam Carolla saying... Mahalo.
Daddy, everybody at school says you have a small penis.